Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the C.J. Miller Show on In5D Radio. I'm your host, C.J., also known by Claudia, and today is April 8th, 2014, and I'm so happy to be here with all of you tonight for episode number 4 of the C.J. Miller Show with special guest Franco Di Nicola. So let's welcome Franco to the show, everyone. Hi, Franco. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for making this possible again. It's always an opportunity and a pleasure to play with you and all the beautiful people that are part of it.
Wow, it's great. It's great to hear your voice again, Franco. We've missed you. It's been a couple of months since we had a show together. And I know a lot. Yeah, go ahead. What?
Yeah, it's interesting, though. You say a couple of months. It doesn't seem that way. It doesn't seem all that long ago. And at the same time, it does. You know, it's, I know you mentioned it a couple of times. It's been a couple of months. And I go, wow, it doesn't feel that way. And that's all part and parcel of, you know, losing all touch of time because, you know, this is one of the things that are playing out, right? So Yeah, I guess it would be about 2 months since we last, because we missed the last month due to a lot of other things that were playing out. But, we'll get full stream again and catch up on everything.
Yay. Well, you know how it is for the people that are missing you. It seems like a long time for us, maybe. But I totally agree with you about the concept of time. Sometimes I'm even, like, forgetting the year. I'm like, it's 2014. Okay. My last show, I was, you know, I've been spacing time out a lot lately. I know people are interested in what's going on in your life a little bit, but there's so much going on in the world right now and the energies that are coming into the earth at this time. So, I don't know where you want to start it off for today. Do you want to, like, fill us in a little bit on how you've been and how your life's been going? Everybody with inquiring minds want to know.
Well, it depends what we talk about life. I mean, if you're talking life in a human form and a physicality aspect of it, there's one aspect of that. Or if you're talking about life being the essence of who we are, that is, you know, multidimensional, that is infinite being and of course, has no limitation and does whatever it does, that's another aspect of ourselves. On the physical side of things, I mean, it's just typical stuff. There was some travel after that. There was a big move, moving from an apartment to a house in the country. And so there was been quite a bit of interesting experiences on that end, trying to get set up and ready to be able to function again in, you know, doing the shows and doing other things too, because of, you know, where I was led to come on the physical aspect of things. There's internet challenges, telephone challenges, because of the fact that there is not proper infrastructure, and most of the infrastructure is quite old and does not support, you know, the high-speed internet and all that other stuff that, you know, was there available in that aspect. That's on the human side. On a physical level, too, you know, it's been, yes, I'm in the pool of energies that's playing out on the planet right now, and so I do feel it. I'm not affected in the sense where it actually takes me down or anything of that nature, but you do feel the different energies and different things are coming through, but also the stuff that's being cleared up. Now, the other component is by moving from sort of the city, because I was in the city before, and coming here, I noticed a huge difference, because I was in a fairly large condominium building or apartment building at this point, you want to call it. And, you know, there's there were 385 suites in our building, and there's two other ones in next to us, and plus an old age home across the street. So in that area, there was, you know, some, you know, 1,500 different suites with multitudes of different people, and you can feel all the energies going on in there. And, you know, when the message came very clear to move, and also the timelines were showing up that I needed to move out in the country where, you know, here there's not that many people. It's pretty sparse because I'm in the northern part of country setting, if you want to call it that, amongst farm. There's a huge, huge change. You know, even going in and out of the body, I do notice coming back into the body, it's much lighter. It's not, you're not coming back into this kind of pool of dirty water. I'm giving you just an analogy here. Mm-hmm. It's like re-entering this pool of energy that was, in most cases, very low because of the fact that the state of everybody being, because you remember, everybody is a transmitter receiver. So, in essence, you know, the energies that were being emitted by everybody in the area, and also the energies that were supportive in that area because of the commercial about the state of people going wherever they're going in regards to work, to the, you know, their routine life, but mm-hmm. most of the routine life reflected a 3D older state of being. That you know, when you're coming back into that, it was very, very in more challenging, intense, whatever you want to call it. But here I noticed it's a lot lighter. However, you know, you have to understand on the other side, the soul says, oh, okay, good. Now we can stretch things a little further. We can, you know, do even more because it won't be so physically challenging on the reentry. So in essence, as much as it coming back is lighter in the sense of coming through the energies, but the work that it's doing behind the scenes, it's actually much more intense. So that's on the physical level. Now, I don't know if my connection is good because I do have a poor telephone line system here. So if I break up, just let me know.
Okay. Well, you're sounding okay so far. It's ironic that both of us have a phone. I mean, I don't have your phone issue, perhaps, but I'm also on a cell phone. So let's just pray and hope for all the best connections tonight so that we both stay in contact on the show. But I hear you perfectly, Frank.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
On the other side of things, when we're talking about the being state, the essence of who we really are, projecting these physicalities, in actual fact, there's a lot of work being done behind the scenes, and it has been accentuated more and more. It's actually been taking a more liberal state of dealing and playing with so much more than it has ever had before, in the sense that it's almost like a lot of preparation, a lot of completion, a lot of activations. There's a lot of reprogramming going on. There is a change of patterns that is taking place and so forth. So, you know, on the physical level, if you're looking at the world around us, there's a lot happening. There's a huge amount of stuff happening, you know, and we can turn around and say, well, I don't see it personally in our own lives directly, but, you know, if you look around, there's a lot going on. However, from looking at it on a perspective behind the scenes, it's a massive amount of change going on. And now, you know, when I say massive, you know, it doesn't always reflect on the physical plane to the same degree as the work that's being done behind the scenes, because of the fact that there's a delay time for it. And also, remember, there's so much that has been ingrained for thousands and thousands of years, and a lot of other different modifications that have occurred. So now it's like you have a very complex computer system that has an operating system that has been, you know, layered and layered and layered of different programs and so forth, and now you're going in and you're making modifications and so forth. One affects the next affects the other, and going on and on and on. So there starts to create a chain reaction, but the actual picture on the outside, as much as there is so much showing up, some of it will show up a little later, and it will show up in different parts of the world or different ways, and it will reflect on the physicality of the, or what we can call the planet energy field, but it will also reflect on the different alignments and so forth. So all of that starts to come about. So there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of change going on, a lot of energy going through. The months of April and months of May are very powerful. April's, you know, March was pretty intense in itself, but April is even much more coming through. Again, it's just to stimulate and promote change. And the change is affecting us on an individual basis and also on a collective basis. So there's lots going on in that regard. At times when we're looking at it, it doesn't always look – it looks messy. Okay, let's put it this way. I'll give it to you straightforward. Working on it, it looks messy. It looks like, oh, my gosh, you know, if I have to just put this in the human term, there's so much to do. And not so much to do is there's so many layers of it. And you also see that there is still, you know, influence that is being held in place. And then certain things you can't even access because of the fact that people are there's a collective group of people scattered all over the world that are still utilizing certain frequencies. So you can't take that out of them, take it out. You know, it's like you go into a video game and you have a multitude of video games. They're all interconnected, but you're going into one particular video game. So you say, okay, we're going to get rid of this video game, which, you know, creates this type of experience on the physical form. I'm going to take that out of the equation. However, then there's either souls that are utilizing it for completion or utilizing for them to clean up past lives, doing whatever they need to do to bring it up and say, ho, don't take that away from us because we still need it right now. So then at that point, you can modify it to some degree to lessen and to, you know, expedite the work that they need to do. However, you can't remove it. So you do whatever you can, then you got to move on to something else and then later on. But sometimes it's like you get to the point on the human point when you're looking at it and you say, come on, guys, let's all do it now. Just shift it right away. And let's not, you know, flip the switch and let's move on. Because if you really can see really what the potential, what we actually have as our probabilities and potentialities that we've already did and played around and, you know, see what we can do, if you really had a good grasp of that, you would not drag your feet in, you know, doing the letting go of all the stuff that we've held on to. Because, you know, this is a big thing, you know, letting go. We talk about letting go. But, you know, how many of us really are totally on board of letting anything and everything go? Only when we're in a state of frustration, but then that creates another scenario because when you're in a state of frustration of letting go, then that is still, you know, not in a completion state. It's more of a, yeah, I had enough of this and I don't want this out. So there's a whole different energy of that. But anyways, that's kind of a slight recap. I mean, we can play with some more. You can play around with whatever else you feel guided to ask.
Well, that's great. I mean, see, there's no short questions or short answers, rather, when it comes to saying, how are you doing, Franco? It's like, well, how do you really want to talk about it? There's so many levels to your life. And
yeah,
I love
it.
That's awesome. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's the thing, too. I mean, there's so much. And it's not just, you know, we're looking at it and say, well, this is our life. It's all of our lives. I mean, we have so much going on. A lot of times we don't focus or realize how much is playing out. I mean, we're playing out stuff in the dream state, in the altered state. We're doing it in the waking state. We're doing it amongst each other. We're doing it behind the scenes at the soul level. There's so much going on. There's, you know, alternate aspects of ourselves. There's a past, future, present self. You know, there's so much going on. I know we only tap a small amount of it, and when we ask the question, well, how you're doing, you know, most of us basically at that point in time look at that immediate moment in the physical form only. But if you really all look at all aspects of yourself, whoa, you know, there's much more to it.
Well, you mean you're talking about in a multidimensional state, then it's a totally different story how you're doing. I'm sorry, I'm kind of in a giddy mood. This happens to me when we do a show and the energy starts to come in, then I feel a little like, and I do love being on the being with all the people, the energy's great, and so I'm not making fun of you. I hope you understand, Franco.
No, that's play. This is all about playing.
All right.
We'll have fun here.
Okay. Awesome.
I mean, I know we're doing a lot of work. We're growing. We're expanding and stuff. We're discovering who we are and everything else, but this is all to be done lightly and playful. I mean, life was never to be challenged or anything. That's kind of a concept we adopted for a period of time. But, you know, you're going to realize that, you know, we don't need to get so wrapped up with whatever's playing out. I mean, that's That's an old way of looking at it, because we thought, okay, let's see how it is to be serious and all that stuff, and to see nothing more than that. But anyways, no, we're here to play. Let's have fun.
Awesome. Yay. I'm really psyched for I'm just so psyched to be here with you again and with all our listeners. And I think, you know, it's interesting. This has been the past 2 months. I don't know. It's been very interesting. What I notice the most, Franco, is there's very little lag time in the physical, it seems, between manifest. Like if I have a thought or a desire for something, and especially if it's something that's in alignment with my highest desire, you know, which is to be of service and to, you know, to bring up consciousness in the collective. If it's in alignment with that, I'm finding that things are just coming to me very quickly, like meetings with people, or it's very exciting, you know. So I'm really trying to keep my thoughts aligned with the highest. I don't know. Is it like? Do you know? Is there something going on right now with the timelines, or that is affecting that in the physical?
Well, the thing is, I mean, you pretty well laid it out there. And the thing is, when you say alignment, it's basically when there's a match between what is for your highest good or what your soul desires, what it, and when I say desire, it's not so much a desire, what it it wants to really create and as part of the experience. Because again, it's doing what it came here to do, and that is to experience life, to make transformation, and to facilitate other aspects of self too at the same time. So yeah, you know, the lag time only remains intact, and even that has changed somewhat. The lag time in any creation or any manifestation that takes place is that when there's a misalignment, when basically for your highest good the soul desires one avenue of experience, which creates certain realities, and then the mind is now operating on a software program, on a program where it's, you know, absorbed certain learning, certain observation, or something of that nature. For example, somebody desires to meet a partner, for example, because they, you know, feel a lack within themselves and so forth. Now the soul turns around and looks at it and says, okay, well, let's see how that aligns. Now, in a sense, if a partner comes along, and first of all, it looks at, okay, is this partner timing good for us? And when I mean good, will it be in expediting exactly what we need to do for the next level of preparation or the next stage that we need to do? Second of all, it looks at the fact of, you know, what it can align with. So in a sense, you'll notice that it always looks at what is the main goal, the main purpose, and I don't even like the word goal, but the direction that it's going and what it chooses to be doing. So when the two align, of course, the manifestation or the alignments and the reality creation is quick, and that's why we call it the quickening, because it is quickening. But the quickening is only happening because of the fact there's more alignment. There's more matching. And, you know, we can go further in that, because the thing what's speeding up is that much more people, let's put it this way, are not so much giving as much power to, you know, whims of I want this, I want that, as much for as long a period of time as they did before. So in essence, they're kind of more, okay, what feels better, what feels right, you know, and I don't like either of those terms because there is no better or right, but you know, what, you know, matches a little bit more and, you know, is more of an alignment within themselves. And then that choice that is made with going into the feeling part of it, is that's kind of creating a match with what the soul and what the mind is creating. And then, of course, it creates really quickly. And a lot of times, you know, we want lots of other things, too. For example, we want this, 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 and this, and then what happens if we don't get it? We actually create the opposite or something of that nature. And that is just basically the soul stepping in and saying, okay, we're going to use this as a tool. We're going to back create or reverse create and intensify the experience so that we can actually do what we really want to do. And, you know, for example, somebody wants a job, for example, to work at a particular company or a particular you know, organization or particular career point or mm-hmm. whatever it is. And, you know, and now they're coming to the point where they are really, at the soul level, choosing to be doing something totally different, working, say, with people to assist them to transform, for example. Now, they will continue to try to manifest the particular job that they want or, you know, one that brings in money or whatever it is at a higher, you know, at a certain prestige or something of that nature, and it's not happening. And meanwhile, they're being pushed always to a be of service or something else, and then you look at it and say, well, you know, I'm not manifesting what I desire. Well, you are, but the thing is you're manifesting something that is tuning you towards the direction of what where you are now at the soul level ready to go into rather than continue to use the other avenue, which is mind-driven or ego-driven, to go do something that does not serve at this time, because it looks at what serves for the highest good for yourself and all other aspects of yourself, too, that you're going to be playing. So in essence, that's kind of what occurs, is there's a shifting that takes place in that regard. So, you know, the fact is a lot of times people say, well, I don't manifest what I want. That's the first thing to look at, how aligned is for your highest good or the highest good of, you know, what is for your purpose and direction at this point in time. How does it align with what you want? Because the want is one thing, but if it distracts you or if it doesn't align perfectly with you in the direction that you need to go, guess what? You know, it's not going to come about, you know.
Right, like a relationship that might not be in your best, like it's serving you best. That wouldn't, even if you really wanted it with your heart that you wanted a person, if they just really weren't in your highest good, it wouldn't be allowed to happen. Is that kind of what you're saying? Like,
yes. I mean, there's several parts of that because, say, yeah, you're. Let's take that example you just gave. So you want a certain person in your life. Now, of course, you know, the two coming together, you know, as much as you say, well, I'm compatible, I really like this person, and I feel that, you know, I could have a real great time with this person and so forth, that's on a physical level. But then, of course, you're looking at the soul agreements. The two souls have to agree, okay, how does it serve each other? You know, us coming into each other's lives, how does it serve? You know, so if it doesn't match in that regard and say, well, it's not going to serve at this time. You know, it may serve later, but it doesn't serve at this time because each one of us has to still stay in a different direction or non-joint state. So it will not play out. Now, however, you know, because a lot of times if you push it hard enough and, you know, and many people experiment with that, the soul will turn around and say, okay, try it out, you know, and it will allow you to hook up with this particular person, and then of course you'll have whatever experience that you're going to have with this person. Now, are you going to be making a mistake? Absolutely not. However, you're going to create a scenario to reinforce, say you had a certain level of stubbornness of wanting to, I need this, I want this, I want this, I want this, and then finally says, okay, go have it. But you're going to also experience it in a way that will let you see the bigger picture at some point or see, maybe that wasn't, you know, where I needed to go. Now, could you make a mistake? No. It just gives you another opportunity to see it from a different angle, a different experience. And then, of course, you know, I've seen people get together with other people and things get accentuated, and they say, well, see, it's serving, it's doing whatever it needs to do. But at the same time, because the thing is, this is always perfection in everything that plays out regardless. There's nothing
right.
that is not playing out in one way or another that's perfect. But, like, right now, what's different is the fact that the souls really desire movement, desire transformation, desires an alignment with fourth and fifth dimensional consciousness, desires to let go of all these programs. So it's always going to look at what serves the best, and if it needs a kick in the ass, if it needs something intense to come through, it will not turn around and say, oh, you know, I love you, Claudia, you're so sweet and everything else, I'm going to spare you from something, you know, juicy at this point because you're such a nice person. It's just going to turn around and say, okay, we love you so much that we're going to let you have this intense experience at this point in time so that you will make a shift a lot quicker, and you will wrap up, you know, that part of you that's been pushing a certain direction, because you can push, and it says, okay, have it, but then we're going to put you back on track. Did you get off on track? No. You were just given a scenic route with a scenic experience with something just to create an alignment. So that's it. It kind of works that
right.
way.
Right. So basically, like, there's no wrong move in looking at it that way.
No, there isn't. There isn't. I mean,
yeah.
we can repeat patterns. Even when people turn around and say, well, I keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah, you keep repeating it until you finally get it and say, okay, I'm done with this, and I don't need to repeat it anymore. Just because I had to do it 20 times versus 2 times, does it mean that I'm stupider or dumber or that I'm in one way more stubborn? No, you just were deeper into your program, and as patient as we are, the soul being, saying, we'll give you the opportunity. But the difference is now, the way it was before is that the repetitive of the 20 times, for example, would have been spaced out longer. It would have been, okay, we'll have one experience now, and then we'll have another experience a few months or a year later, or whatever it is. But now you'll notice the experiences are almost like back-to-back, only to have these to expedite everything. So if you're going to have to repeat something, we're not going to delay it. We're going to repeat it over and over again so that you can actually, and without, you know, much space in between, so that we can get on board really quickly and move on, type of thing.
Wow. Well, I guess that's why it's such an intense time right now. I mean, thank you for that answer, by the way. You know, it just seems like so many people right now are breaking up. I don't know. I'm seeing that all over, people leaving relationships, leaving marriages. I know I think I said that a couple shows ago, but there's just so much going on. And I wanted to – I know there's a frame for tonight's show that I was going to bring up, but I brought up the issue of alignment because to me, that's what I notice more and more. Like, when I'm going through times, and I'm sure everybody can identify with this, you know, I'm going through times of, like, frustration. Here I am, I'm on the path, I'm doing pretty well, I'm getting rid of my, well, getting rid of, I'm clearing my programs, I'm releasing them, you know, I'm understanding them, and like getting to the root of things, and then something, like a little thing will happen, and it'll just set me off, you know, it'll just be in a kind of a bad state for a couple of days. The past few days were not that great for me, so, excuse me, even though I feel great now, I mean, today was a very high vibrational day. There's times when I'm slipping back, and you know, it's not always easy to maintain that sense of clarity and neutrality, you know. But and then I think, well, if I was really in alignment, then I wouldn't be experiencing that. But what I hear you saying is that everything is serving a purpose, and there's a perfection in all of it. So it doesn't really matter, even if we're not in alignment, like we're learning. Is that what you're saying, basically?
Yeah, I mean, look at it this way. Look how beautifully aligned you were on that whole situation. For example, you know, like you said, the intense stuff coming through, you know, and you're going through the clearing, releasing, and all that other aspect. So you're basically letting go of old programs, stuff that you got accustomed to, or you know, create patterns. And the patterns is not only in this lifetime; there's a multitude of lifetimes and so forth. So you're going through all of that aspect of it, and as you're letting go of all those things, you know, and when you say we have days that, you know, become intense or whatever it is, or certain things play out and you light up, you know, for example, you know, it creates anger or creates resentment or creates, you know, different activations within you. Does that mean that you're misaligned? No. What it's doing is that it's now... The alignment is actually good because, in a sense, you're now setting up to activate anything else that's still there for you. So by putting it in the spotlight, by activating it, by experiencing it, you can see, oh, okay, here's another program and here's another program. Now, of course, when you get to the point where there's no more programs, you become very neutral, and it doesn't matter what's happening around you, you're not going to activate any programs. So the fact that it's there is not a misalignment. It's more of the fact that you're aligned to do the grand purpose, and which is to clear as much as possible what no longer serves, so that you can be now at a vibration frequency that matches the new operating system that we're stepping into, a fourth and then fifth dimensional consciousness. So that's really what's playing out. And, you know, and in anything that comes about in your life that activates anything is your higher aspect of you staging and preparing you to see what still needs to be done. And the fact that there's still more coming up does not mean, you know, the fact that you're not doing it right, or that, you know, oh, this is never ending, or you know, this, I'm a lost cause. No, it's just basically digging deeper, and it's activating other aspects of things that you weren't quite ready at that time. Because, I mean, as much as people turn around and say, well, you know, I'd like to whip it up and get it done all in one shot, you know, let's get over it. Well, you know, you're talking about some pretty intense emotions. You're talking about some pretty powerful states of being that we've had. You have to look at just as an example of life around you, what people are going through. You know, there's all different types of challenges, all different types of intense states of being, and then there's intense of elation and intense of, you know, what you can call intense painful experiences. And, you know, with all the drama and everything else that's going on. Now, to bring that up all to the surface, stuff that you've carried, especially in past lives, or you have experienced in this lifetime, or you've taken on from lineages and have it all blow. I mean, you want to blow a gasket, you can really do it. But the thing is, it's not only just about clearing. You know, this is the key here. We are experiential beings. We learn from experience. We create other levels of experience, other levels of beingness, and other levels of consciousness, and another level of awareness through these experiences. So it's not about going in and clearing it. It's also going in, experiencing it in a different state of consciousness, in a different vibrational viewpoint, coming in that, getting the lesson, learning from it, expanding from it, gaining consciousness from it, becoming a higher being because of it, and by a higher level of enlightenment, and then you let that part go because you've done that. It's like you're going in right for the lessons, you're going in for whatever you've signed up for to do. And it's not like, you know, like I was giving you the example, I think we were talking about it yesterday, is that, you know, it's like going in and saying, well, I want to learn mathematics, complex mathematics, but I don't want to go through the lessons, and I don't want to go through all the work that's involved. Just give me that piece of paper that says I'm already an expert, you know. And that's kind of, you know, we can go into that and say, well, this is what I want. I want it just wrapped up, and I want to get it done. But at the same time, look at all that you're missing in between that you're learning from it. You know, you're learning, expanding, you become an even much more powerful creator through it. I mean, you wouldn't have come here, and you wouldn't have had all these lives if none of this stuff would have served you in one way or another, or you had selected it in one way or another to be part of the experience to expand you. So what you're really doing at this point is going in and wrapping it up, cleaning it up, experiencing it, take the lesson out of it, take the consciousness, take whatever you need that you've decided to do to get out of it, and then you wrap it up and let it go. So expediting it in a sense of just burning through it, you will miss a lot of the power behind it, all the nitty-gritty that will, you know, give you the what you really desired from it from the first place. Now, you have to understand, we've had many lives that we are repeating a lot of different experiences, especially now. But we're repeating it in a way that is really, really quickly, but with a different state of consciousness, with the planet being at a different frequency, and we have a lot more powerful supportive mechanisms around because we are all in a collective state being, you know, going through the same acceleration and purging and clearing and all that other stuff that's going on. So we're assisting each other. There's much more capable people, aspects of ourselves assisting and playing with each other to facilitate. So at the same time, you know, the learning and everything else. And we'll learn from each other, too, because the fact is that we don't have to do everything ourselves. Because the thing is, when we are playing with other aspects of ourselves, and that's why a lot of relationships come and go, we're actually learning from each other so that we don't all have to do everything ourselves. So each you know, we learn by observing other people's experience, so we don't have to do it all, you know, to go through it all. So this is also part and parcel, because this, if you look back in past lives, and I know sometimes it's hard for people because they don't have the recollection of past lives. If you go through the past lives and you can tune into the energies that were at that time, and you look at, you'll be able to tune into, because anybody that's done regression or is able to access that, you'll see that the energies were very different. The state of consciousness was very different. The people's state of being and what they were reflecting and emanating was quite a bit different, a lot denser, a lot darker, a lot limited, and a lot more limited. So whatever we are accomplishing now was much more difficult to do then. So as you can see, you know, there's much more. So this is why, and especially with the changing of energies right now that are coming through and the accentuations are coming through, we're able to go through it a lot faster in a very rapid state. So you don't, you know, now you don't need a whole lifetime, and this is the beauty of it, because before any series of experience, for example, you, before you're incarnated, you made a list of things that you wanted to experience. You came onto the planet and say, oh, I want to experience this, this, and this. Most cases, just to wrap up a few of those things, if you even wrapped a few of them, you could have even wrapped up one, would take a whole lifetime. So if you had a list of 20, it may take you 5 or 10 lifetimes before you can do it. But now we're capable to do something up to 50 lifetimes worth of stuff in a matter of a year, you know, or two, or even less. Because especially now that things are accelerating even further, you can wrap up things a lot quicker. You can get what would have taken you lifetimes to do in one lifetime in a short duration during this one period of lifetime. And this is what's been a lure and been so exciting for the souls to be here at this time. And this is one of the reasons the population grew so much in the last 60 years. You know, we quadrupled, you know, in a sense, pretty close anyways, 3.5 times, I guess, the population, because it was just like, we want to catch this because this is the time we can make the most amount of progress in a short period of time. And I don't care how long I can be there. If I even there for 2 days, I don't mind. I just want to get in there and catch that wave and do whatever I can. You know, but when we're here and we're going through the challenges at the mind level and you know, the program level, I see, oh, my God, look at all the stuff we're going through. It's painful. It's just intense. You know, this is going to kill me or anything of that nature. At the soul level, it's rejoicing and saying, yes, look at how much we can, the adventures we can do, the stuff that we can do in such a period of time. And look at that. We're actually making so much progress. So it's like going to a school, you know, a school playground, because this is basically what it is. It's going to a school and playground that has not only higher learning, but accelerated learning and learning that is interactive. Where before we could not create. Look at the varieties that we can create in this lifetime that we couldn't in previous lifetimes. I mean, the variety that exists now and the range that we can play with is phenomenal, and it's growing even faster because, again, we're only scratching the surface so far.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's so exciting. It's, you know, God, there's so many... It's hard to wrap the logical mind around the concept that, you know, we're having so many experiences simultaneously, that we're existing in multidimensional states and in many different lives all at once. But I guess that's really what is happening. And so what I hear you saying is that, like, this quickening is basically having an effect in all these different levels at once. Is that right?
That too, yes, absolutely. And the thing is, too, I mean, we are also at the same time, what we're doing is also alternate selves are collapsing in a sense where we don't need to create as much varieties, and it will continue. I mean, what I mean is that for us to, for example, when you're working at a very limited state, you know, like the energies are limited, the environment that you're playing in, like the school, the air playground being planet Earth at that time, where, you know, there's so much limits to the point of what you can experience in one lifetime, you have the tendency to create multitudes of other aspects of yourself in other realities. So you're basically playing out a variety of reality, which you can shift in and out of. And at that point in time, to create that variety. But now what's happening is that because that is being, in most cases, we don't need as many varieties because we're actually opening up the platform here in real time, or what we can call real time, but we can call in this one constant time of what we're playing with, where the mind is focused and where we're focused on, then at that, you don't need as many varieties, so you start collapsing them. In a sense, other aspects of your parallel selves, let's call it that, parallel selves, you don't need as many parallel aspects of yourself, you know, so, because...
Is that like a timeline?
Is
that a timeline, Franco? Is that, would you call that like an alternate timeline, that this parallel self?
Yes.
Is that what we're collapsing?
There's there's alternate timeline, okay, I got to get my words all wrapped up again.
Okay.
I don't know, say it again.
Alternate timeline.
Thank you. I have to get the tongue work here.
I know.
There's alternate timelines, and then there's what we call alternate selves, you know, or what we can call parallel selves, you know, having different timelines, having different experiences. So the timelines, the variety of timelines have been collapsing quite rapidly now, because what's happened is we stepped into a timeline which is fluid. That means that the timeline itself is malleable and it shapes according to the frequency and whatever we need to create, where before it's like this. It's like... Let's put it this way. I'll give you a quick, simple analogy. It's like going on the TV program or going into, let's use the TV. That's probably the easiest at this point. Going there, and you want to watch different television programs, so you have to switch channels. So you go from one channel to the next channel, and each channel has a different movie or a different show or something else playing out. So for you to have variety, you're going to shift from channel to channel, which would be timelines. Okay? So the alternate self is, parallel self is basically going into the movie, and now when you're watching the movie, you're shifting your view from one character to the next. So you're actually looking at yourself as a different character within the movie. So that will be the parallel self. The different movies would be, you know, the movies are, you know, have alternate events or something that you want to call it playing out. So you're just basically tuning. So what happens is when you've learned what you need to learn and you no longer need to be in one particular timeline, you will shift into a different timeline, which is a different movie. And then when you need to focus into a different character, you will focus as the observer of a different character being another parallel aspect of yourself. Now what's happened is that we have gone into real time in the sense where now you don't need to shift pretty well. And I'm not saying everybody's at that state, but it is moving towards that direction, is that you're no longer, I mean, even though we went into that, we're still, that doesn't mean everybody's collapsed their timelines, but they are being collapsed on a pretty rapid pace. So in actual fact, is now instead of going from one movie to another, you're now stepping into a movie that is fluid, a movie that actually changes characters, but each character can change and play whatever role they need to play. But the movie, actually, the outcomes and is done real time, meaning moment by moment, so that the actual stage of the movie or the scenery and so forth will now be created as you're moving forward. So there is no, like, fixed, say, for the movies, has a certain outcome, has a certain series of events and so forth. It's no longer set. Those events. The events are now being created moment by moment. Most people are living in that aspect, even though they're not realizing it, but because of their pattern and their energy pattern that they're repeating, it looks like, you know, there's a fixed state that they're walking through, but in actual fact, they're making up everything each moment. So our present state right now is preparing the next state. And you know, what you gain from this present state prepares you to die. So the fact that we're having this show and we're having this communication and the energies that are being emanated and what we're sharing and so forth is modifying everybody that's on the call, and anybody that's going to be on the call is modifying their real-time movie so that their whatever they would have experienced if they hadn't gone on the show, and I'm not just saying this particular show, but it can be a lot of different events, right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying if they didn't come on to it, they would have had a stream that would have been created through a certain thought pattern. But now because of this exposure that they're getting, their thought patterns are changing, their energy field is changing, their programs are being changed, so that now their realities each moment are going to be quite a bit different than it would have been without the exposure and any other things that would have came into their life. Not, like I said, it's not just to do with the show. But the fact
right.
that what we're sharing does push some realms and limits and also is streaming some pretty powerful energies, it is... now, is it altering and taking them out of where they need to go? No, it's actually the ones that need to be on are on because they know, they've been, you know, soul to soul, realize, okay, I need to be on this call. I need to be exposed to what I'm going to be exposed to because it's going to create a new stage, new path for me that will match more what I choose to move into. And this is at the soul level. It's not at the mind level. But at the mind level, you say, oh, okay, I've got to be on this show or I need to listen to this because I feel that it's going to, you know, make me feel better or you know, bring some clarity mm-hmm. or something of that nature. So at the mind level, of course, it serves too. And it also modifies the ego or expands the ego's point so that it's not so rigid and stuck in its old ways. So all of that is playing out from that mm-hmm. experience. So that's what we're doing now is hopefully I've explained it clear enough. To me, it's very
yeah.
easy, but it's hard to explain it so much in words where people can understand it.
I think it's perfect what you said. And as you were saying it, I got so excited. And I'm just like, you know, I just feel, I really feel the power of this moment. And every time we do a show together, I always feel a great rush of excitement and you know, even just talking to you, it's very powerful, the energy, and it's just so fun. It's fun to know that just by coming together, all of us in this space, all of us as souls in this time now, you know, that we are creating other realities in a sense.
The one thing I wanted to add to that is that everybody that's coming onto the show or coming in at some point in time are all contributing to this, and it's actually mm-hmm. this what we're experiencing right now. We're collapsing a lot of timelines that are no longer of service for anybody, for anyone that's on or even on a collective level, we're doing it. I mean, we're doing this all the time, but when I say we as a collective, I'm not saying we, just us, but I'm just saying
right.
there's a lot of timelines that are being collapsed right now at this point in time that no longer serve, because this conversation is, it doesn't matter if there's 10 people on, 100 people on, or 1,000 people on. In one way or another, everything that we're doing, because we're connected with everyone, it is changing the whole dynamics of the whole experience of the whole planet. But not only the planet, the solar system and the galaxy. And it's, you know, again, the conversations are bringing in a lot of different other energies and different levels of consciousness coming from other planets and other beings and other beings that are on the planet at this point in time from other places. So there's so much playing out. I know the mind is, you know, can't always see that and put it all together, but there's like a huge movement being created just from what we're doing right now and what we do as we go on and play with life every day, you know, type of thing for everybody. So we are together at this point in time, you know, come, you know, the show was your creation. The alignments, you know, came about for us to play, but also the creation didn't start with us. It started with a collective group saying, okay, we need to do this, because it doesn't matter where it's positioned, how it's going out, it's going to facilitate. And this is not the only one. There's a multitude of other shows and other events
yeah.
going on, and gatherings and, you know, meditations mm-hmm. and there's other souls that are doing a multitudes of other things. So it's all part
yeah.
of our-
It's a super exciting time, and it definitely feels like the energies and even astrology seems to be supporting the energy now of great change and just letting go, you know, letting go of the last of it. I'm There's this one guy that I listen to who's great, and I've met him at a couple conferences, Tom Lesher, an astrologer. And in his report that I was watching this week, he was saying that this is like the time to wash out your life, almost like imagine your life as a blanket, and if it's like stained, it's no big deal. You just have to wash the blanket, and then the stains come out. You know, it's like memories or these programs, these memories that we have, they're not really us. We've become so identified with them, and especially if we're not as awakened, if we're like watching a lot of television, if we're really indoctrinated into the system, it's, you know, it's hard to realize that those programs and all those thoughts are not you, are not your soul. But I do think that I've noticed, even amongst the people that seem to be quote-unquote sleeping, that they seem to be going through a lot of changes, and like life is paving the way for them to heal more and not to make the same patterned behaviors as they would previously. I mean, at least this is what I'm noticing in people, and so I do feel the that we're really being supported in it, and so it's just such a great, I'm really excited about this time. I know that, you know, people are in, there's definitely people in pain, and there's people that say it's a really hard time. But in general, even if it's hard, it feels like we're on the way. So, you know, thank you, Franco, for doing everything you're doing and being here and sharing this great energy with all of us. So, you know, yay.
Well, that's why we're here, and that's why we're together. Yeah. We're facilitating and assisting each other. That's what we're doing. And, you know, the analogy about washing the sheets is great. The other advantage to add to all of that is before we were just using a certain level of detergent, or if you want to call it that, but we're now, with the energies and everything that are coming through lately, it's now using a pretty much more aggressive, I shouldn't say aggressive, let's call it much more active ingredients going in, a much more powerful bleach, let's put it that way, so that the actual stains come off easier and leaves no mark behind it. And this is the thing, because, you know, as much as we were clearing out stuff before, it still left some, I don't know if you want to call it residue, but a part of the stain in there. It didn't always clear it out perfectly. But now what's happening is that it's being cleared out even much more efficiently. And not only that, our attention goes a lot more quicker to see where the stains are to be able to take care of it, you know. So energetically, wow, we have like you said, your friend has said, you know, there's much playing out, and the ingredients that are coming about to make it work are much more powerful and much more you know, efficient, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's awesome. Gosh, you know, look at the time. This is what happens. We'll talk for a few minutes before we take questions, and now it's 8:53 Eastern Standard Time. So I guess we do have a few questions. We had a lot of questions from our listeners. So I just want to say to people that if we don't get a chance, if Franco doesn't get a chance to answer your question tonight, you know, we can always keep these questions for the next time, or, you know, we'll find a way for, I think we've already answered some of the questions people have asked, but not directly naming their questions, because people were very interested in what's going on behind the scenes, talking about, you know, behind the veil, and also talking about the relationship between ego and spirit, and people want to know a lot of stuff from you, Franco. So I just want to check in with you about the time, and if we can, will we have just one more hour, or will we have a little more time than that tonight?
Well, let's see. I mean, okay. I'm open at this moment, so let's see what we can do.
Okay.
If it goes more, that's fine.
Okay.
I think you had said that we have up to 3 hours.
Yes, we do.
We'll see if we need the whole time or not.
Okay. Okay, great. So we good. I'm glad to know that you could go over if need be. So I just want to repeat, you know, from the conversation you and I had yesterday about the energy and what's going on now, I gave the title to the show of From Confusion to Clarity, the Essence of Discernment, because that was something you were saying, that there was a lot of confusion. And I'm not saying we have to go on and talk about this now, because I feel like just by answering people's questions, we're basically going to be bringing clarity to confusion. But I'm interested in what you named as discernment, and maybe that'll also come out of the answers for the questions of, I mean, discernment is basically helping people to decide what is the best for them or what is right. Is that what you would call discernment in this kind of instance?
Well, you know, discernment is using your own inner knowing to kind of pick and choose what will resonate for you. And this is important. I mean, before we get into that, just quickly, the reason we're talking about confusion is because, as you know, and I'm sure you're quite aware and have been noticing, and as many people, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot more information than ever before. And some of the information is contradictory. Some information resonates. Some information doesn't resonate. Some information resonates now, but then doesn't resonate later, you know. So it's going, okay, well, it makes sense now. It feels good. It feels whatever it is. But then later on, it's like, oh, I made a mistake or whatever it is. No, you didn't make a mistake, you know. And I'll bring back the whole thing about discernment. You know, the thing is, what discernment is you take an information that's coming through, and you basically use your own discernment to distill and see what really matches what you need to get out of that information, or if it matches what you feel within yourself, because you have your own guidances. Now, let's play with it a little bit. You have your soul, first of all. That's your first higher aspect of yourself. Now, the soul has had many lives. It has also access to the beingness and sourceness that it is. It's also able to be able to restore itself into source itself, meaning all of the consciousness and everything. And it has access to that. Now, the thing is, of course, the soul is going through an enlightenment process, and that part of the process was to forget that it was source, and to also not to be able to access everything of its knowing, so that it can have, let's call it human experience now, because we're on a planet where we are in a human body. So to have the human experience that, you know, to have that access to the highest level of consciousness, or all that it can access, would not serve, because it would be a very different experience when you know that this is kind of holographic experience that you're creating, and as a knowing, you can't have the same level of intensity. So in essence, you put veils over and filters so that you can only access a certain amount. So that's the first level. But then there's other aspects of yourself, which are other aspects of yourself, but you also have what we call other levels of higher self. And those other levels of higher self is just you in other states, meaning you can go into the first, you can go into tuning into your twin. You can tune into other family members, and I'm talking about soul families. You can tune into the cluster, the central cluster of the first cluster of families, or the second or third. I know this is going to be hard to explain, so I won't go into too much detail at this point, but in a sense, you can tune into higher levels of yourself, and each one, for example, if you're going into a level of the first cluster, you have to understand that each cluster or soul family, first level of soul family, is made up of 12 souls that have split. So you basically 20. You have 24 minus yours, your half. So you have now 23 different versions of yourself embodied and so forth at different levels of consciousness and different levels of experience that you can tap into because you're all interconnected. So that would be your first level. So when you're saying I'm tuning into my higher self, you can tune into your soul, which is that 1/23 of it, of that first cluster, or you can now access the center point, which is the 13th or the center core, which now carries the support of the other 11, which is really 22, and your other half is 23. So you have 23 other aspects that you can tap into. So you can actually tap into that, or you can tap into the next level, which now you're getting into the 48 and so forth. I don't want to create complexities here in this explanation, but I am in a way. But anyway, so there's different levels of higher self. Now, so those other levels you access through your third eye, which you can, you know, at this point in time. And this, of course, when you're tuning into the heart, where you're tuning into the heart chakra, you're tuning into your actual soul. Now, they're all working interconnectedly so that there is a sharing going back and forth. So what I'm talking about is that, just to step back, when you are using discernment, you're basically accessing when you're going into your own heart, or basically heart chakra, you're tuning into your own soul, and you're basically, what you're doing is you're asking the soul, in a way, saying, okay, does this serve at this point in time? Does this somehow resonate? Does it provide you the tools, the energy, the whatever we need for us to do what we came to do? And this is where it gets a little complex, but it's also simple at the same time, where people turn around and say, well, it resonated, now it doesn't resonate anymore. Well, the thing is, when you first ask the question at some point, say last month, last year, you saw something and it resonated for you. So you went gung-ho and you had all these experiences. You went to and do more research about whatever was going on. And it resonated fully. You know, you followed some information of some sort, some path. That created a whole scene for you, a whole experience for you, an unfoldment, and it just opened you up in one direction or another. But then as you were going along, as you were expanding, as you removed more veils from your soul, you now started to notice what resonated for you no longer resonates any longer. But was the information incorrect? No. The information was at a certain level that was necessary and beneficial at that particular time to get you where you are now. So now it's no longer of service because it no longer creates the level that you require, so it doesn't resonate anymore. So even though the information may have not been absolutely accurate, that inaccurate information was enough to get you to be inquisitive, to search, to dig, to discover other parts. If that wasn't there, you wouldn't have done it based on where you were at. So that's where the part of what resonates now doesn't resonate later. Now, in the sense of, you know, because there's so much information, and you have to understand, mind is processing, the ego is processing. First of all, the ego likes to compare what it's experienced in the past, what it sees others doing, and so forth. And if something is out of its range, it really doesn't accept it very well. So in a sense, it will create a form of confusion or rejection or a combination of both. So the mind itself is being, you know, operated through the ego, but it's also operated by its exposure of what it has a limit or what it has created an expansive level of acknowledgement of what is. So, for example, you can turn around and put 10 people in a room and have a variety of different people, and you can start talking about incarnation, for example, and some people are really on board. Yes, I understand. That's true. I understand. I could feel my other past lives, blah, blah, blah. But you can have others that turn around, I don't know about that part. You know, I have no proof or whatever. And others just say, yeah, it's really crazy. We have only this one life, and that's it, and whatever it is. So the information is being shared, but the state of consciousness of each individual will vary. So to them, it may not resonate. So to turn around and say to the person that does not believe, let's call it that, or even acknowledge that there's other lives, even though all these lives are running at the same time, but there are other lives, what we can call past lives or, you know, future lives or whatever it is, may not understand that part of it. And to them, it doesn't resonate what somebody just finished saying about reincarnation. So does that mean, you know, the information is incorrect? No, the information is correct. For example, it's bringing expanded consciousness, but for that particular perceiver at that point in time is not at a stage where it can accept that, and it will not resonate to them. Now, a year down the road, 2 years down the road, 10 years down the road, it will resonate fully. It may not have to be that long because of the way things are changing right now, but I'm just giving you that example. How many of us have, you know, heard things before in the past about whatever was happening in the world or who's doing what or what's true or not true or, you know, about other aspects of ourselves and so forth. And, you know, we thought, that's crazy talk, whatever it is. You couldn't even accept it, didn't understand it, wouldn't even want to acknowledge it, or we'll stay away from it because you think that we're crackpots even talking about it. But now, a few years down the road, it's like you can't eat enough of it. You know, you can't absorb enough. Mm-hmm. There's more. I need to have more and so forth. What changed? Consciousness expanded, you know, the filters have come off at certain points within the soul, so there is that more level of resonance that is taking place. So that's really what's happening. So in using discernment, you're basically tuning into what makes sense to you at that time. And I don't mean at the mind level only, because it is really at the soul level. The soul will allow certain things to tap into it and say, okay, this resonates and so forth. So with all the information coming in, just the fact that you went down one particular path, for example, somebody's talking about, you know, doomsday or whatever it is, right? So let's bring that up. Or somebody gets caught up in religion and, you know, talking about Armageddon and all this other stuff that's going on and, you know, creates fears and creates whatever it is. And they're jumping, you know, headfirst into it and really buying into it and so forth. Are they screwing up? Are they making a mistake? Are they, you know, off track or anything of that nature? No, because at that point, that's what they need to go through that experience at that point to create a shift within themselves. So maybe they need to experience all that fear part of it. So going into the fear that, you know, there's judgment day, that there's, you know, some deity that's pissed off, or that, you know, something's coming about, or there's the end of the world or anything of that nature, or that, you know, we're going to go into the fiery pit or anything else that it may bring up at that point in time. And, you know, feel even more enslaved. But that's the path that they need to go. And how many people have gone through that and then, you know, at some point created a shift within themselves because of it. So those, you know, everything is serving one way or another, whatever we're tuning into. Now, the confusion part of it, which I wanted to cover, is right now because of the amount of information, because of the fact that we are changing so quickly, and we've kind of tried to use the mind a lot of time to bring up logic. And, of course, the mind, like I was saying, can have a certain level of limitation of how much it expands, because especially if it's something new, it may not, you know, be ready for it. And when I say ready, it's not mean because it's not ready. It's because it's basically saying, no, I'm not ready for this yet, even though at a higher aspect of yourself, you are ready, because that's the only reason it's there in the first place. It's trying to stretch the mind. It's trying to break down the barriers within the mind. The mind says, I believe only this, but the soul is saying, no, if we want to be part of this journey here, we need to extend this. We need to open ourselves up. We need to open our minds here and be open for all this other stuff that's coming through, because we may not know the whole thing. We may not, have access to really the big picture. We're only getting a small part of the picture, so we need to stretch and push along. So, of course, it's going to push it. And, of course, the confusion that creates within itself is actually beneficial in a sense, because it starts to stretch the mind, but at the same time, it also starts to break down barriers. It starts to, you know, a lot of times what happens is if we have a set way in our mind of patterns of thought, when that starts to break, it creates, starts to be challenged or broken down, it starts to cause confusion. That does not mean that we're in a state that is not conducive. It's actually conducive in a way, because of the fact that in that state that is playing out, we are now breaking down barriers. So the confusion leads to clarity in many, many cases. So, and this is where we come together to assist one another, because the fact is, as we become much more open and we are more receptive to all the input that's coming in, even though some of the information may not resonate with us at that point in time, we're still taking it in and we leave it as part of our resources. At some point, you know, maybe I can use it. It's like somebody giving you something and saying, well, you know, I don't really need this right now, but, you know, I'll put it away, I'll store it for now. I'll put it in my little library there. At some point, I'll be you know, guided to go and look into it when I'm a little bit more ready. But the thing is, just the fact that you know it's there, you have that access or resource that you can tap into at any point in time. And then as you move along, you will be able to access it and utilize it fully that you wouldn't be able to do before. So in that essence, you know, whatever you resonate with, whatever you feel guided to, don't be so hard on yourself and saying, well, I went down this path, and, you know, because sometimes there are people that are, you know, teaching and sharing information that, you know, are coming from their perspective or coming from sources that may not be fully expanded, enlightened, and so forth, and you may go into that and accept some of that and then find out it's not really quite accurate. But that, again, served you in one way or another to create, not only to hone your own discernment or, you know, to but it also prepared you to see a bigger picture that you weren't able to see before. So, you know, how many times have we heard about stuff that was going on with ETs or this or that or whatever it is? And it may not have been totally accurate or anything of that nature, but look, it opened up the eyes. It opened up, and I, hey, there's a possibility there is something else outside of us here, you know. And look at the progress that's made because of it, because of the fact that we entertained the idea that there's something more than us. There's some more than the human, you know, creation on the planet. That there are other aspects of ourselves on other planets and so forth. Now, there's still a lot of people that are not on board with that yet because they're not at that state of mind. That's fine. That's fine. Still works. So, anyways, the confusion really is really part of the change, and confusion leads to clarity along the way. So it actually is. There's a siphoning process that goes through sifting, I guess is the other word for it, sifting through all the information, and we take in. We take in what resonates for us, you know. And if it creates fear, then, you know, it's activating something within yourself. Because even if you accept to choose to listen to something that is shared and it creates fear within you, that still serves because now it's showing that there's still a certain level of fear activation, fear codes and programs within yourself so that you now can address that. If it activates fear in a sense of feeling disempowered, it shows you that you've, you know, restricted yourself, you've shrunk yourself, and now it's wanting to do it. So in a way, it serves. But at some point, you know, we can listen to all the doom and gloom going on. As your consciousness expands, as your eyes open, as your mind expands in the way of perceiving things, you no longer see it as a doom and gloom. You see all as beautiful unfoldments, right? Because that's really what it is. You're no longer seeing a breakup in a relationship or a loss of a job or people being mutilated here and there, or that, you know, people are still fighting, or, you know, there's corruption here and there. You're not going to see that as something horrible. You're going to see it, oh, okay, we are now accelerating, wrapping this stuff up, and we're getting it out of our system so that we can now move forward into something new. Because you have to understand, a lot of this stuff that's going on now, even the stuff that, you know, is older energies and it's more darker energies, is only there to help us clear up all the stuff from past lives, stuff that we've, you know, experienced in the past before. It's giving us the opportunity to create the environment, the playground for all that, to clean it up, you know, so that we can get whatever we weren't able to get as a lesson and learning and expansion and consciousness within it. And then, because I can tell you one thing, Claudia, and I think we may have mentioned it at one point or another, that is, once everybody's done with a certain series of experience, for example, if everybody's done with a whole idea of war, and what it means, or the fact of taking advantage of victim, victimizer. Once we're done with that, it will automatically dissolve completely. It will no longer exist, period, because there's no energy supporting it, and we are not as a collective creating the need for it to play. For example, somebody's, you know, the whole idea of, you know, creating another war or whatever it is amongst people, the moment it doesn't serve, that there's nothing necessary for it, the players will no longer feel in any need and purpose to play it out any longer. Guns come down, everybody walks home, everybody drops whatever they were doing, and they're not going to be any even talk of it anymore. It would all actually get to a point where you would look at it and say, wow, we even did that? You know, it's almost like your consciousness wouldn't even wrap itself around that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that it exists, the fact that it exists, let's put it this way, the fact that it still exists is that there's still some service being gained by it to move people forward. That's the only reason.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and then it goes back to that same feeling of like that I think so many of us get from listening to you, like peace. Like, oh, all right then. There's really nothing to worry about when you put it that way, that everything's of servitude. And, you know, there's obviously something more that we, if we're still coming up against the triggers and programs, it's just because there's more stuff that we need to realize and then release. So even on the collective level of what you're saying, and, you know, so I'm so glad that you brought this up, and we started it with talking about from confusion to clarity and the essence of discernment, because I think it's a really good frame for everybody's questions, you know, that they've given us, because there's a range of questions. There's people talking about, like, you know, and I'll just kind of frame it, like people asking about chemtrails, and then there's people talking about, like, well, with all the limited resources, how are we going to make change in the world? And then there's people talking about their families and, you know, dealing with rejection and sadness and pain. And yet all of these people are very aware of the need for neutrality and not wanting to allow their vibration to be lowered by the feelings that come up in reaction to these darker, deeper, heavier feelings and or pollution or whatever essence of the control system that's being imposed on us. So clearly, to be able to discern what is right for you is an important thing that you're trying to teach us. The thing is, what I'm wondering and what I'm thinking about as you're saying that, Franco, whatever you were saying before, now I'm forgetting the exact details, but it's like sometimes we want things, and maybe it's a past life thing, is what I'm hearing you saying. It's like, you know, sometimes I want things that it's almost like I can't stop the program from running in my mind of, like, things that I want, or, and I know it's my ego, or like, I feel lonely, and I want a partner, and I want somebody. And then I realize, like, well, that's coming out of my own sense of feeling incomplete, or there's something that I'm not, you know, wanting to look at. So, you know, I have to be able to take care of myself. Like, so it always, you know, I'm able to work my own process with this as I'm noticing my feelings. So clearly it's a time of increased perception. And I think, I mean, like, we got so many really brilliant questions tonight from people who really are on the cutting edge. And they want to know how to, I guess, like, how to transcend these feelings that they're getting in reaction to deeper, darker energies that are here, you know. So I guess we should, can we go into the questions now? Or, I mean,
sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Because we could go off on tangents all night. I mean, I love talking to you and luckily, our audience really likes to listen. So, all right. So here, let's go with this. So since you were, I mentioned chemtrails, and one of our listeners, Belinda, has asked about chemtrails. And so, basically, her question is, how do we approach the topic when we are wanting to stay neutral? So basically, she lives in Las Vegas, notices a lot of chemtrails in the sky, especially the past 3 months. There's a video she sent us, which I watched, which is, you know, a lot of intense information, which I'm sure a lot of people have been hearing. We see the crisscross things in the sky. We know there's stuff coming down. So, yeah, how do we deal with that, Franco? How do we remain neutral and yet... but, you know, what if we live in an area that's being bombarded with these chemtrails?
Well, I mean, Las Vegas or any other parts of the world, I mean, there's so many areas, even here in Canada. I mean, it's you see the mm-hmm. skies all the time being seeded with chemicals and a multitude of other things that are going in there that, you know, may create a certain level of toxicity or something of that nature. Now, we can choose to see and understand that this is happening and, you know, the purpose behind it or at least the intent. And, again, you have to understand the intent has only a certain level of access. Okay, so, for example, the intention is to, yes, dumb down people, at the same time create malfunctioning within the body, intoxicate the environment to put stuff in so that they can easily play with the weather patterns. You know, there's a lot of different reasons that they're putting that, creating or spreading viruses and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things. And we can look at it and say, well, look at this, how horrible all of this stuff is. And if you're coming from a mind of where, you know, right, wrong, good, bad, victim, victimizer, yeah, everybody's a victim right now because these nasty victimizers out there are killing us. They're spreading all this stuff into the skies. They're poisoning us. They're killing us. They're, you know, minimizing our experience. They're making life miserable. Look at what they're doing to the environment and so forth. And now we're the victim. So what's that going to do? That's going to accentuate the fact of victim and victimized separation and what, you know, we've been playing out all, you know, for thousands of years. Now, how does that serve? Well, it serves us to finally get our dose of it and move beyond it. The other aspect of it to see that, you know, the chemtrails are going to only do what is necessary, what is, you know, so it's like this. I'll go back to the television channel or a radio station. A radio mm-hmm. station comes on with some hard rock or some really dark, dark music, for example. I won't relate it to hard rock, but just dark music. Now, the station is going to be there.
Sorry.
What's that?
I was just going to make a joke. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead if you need to. Sure, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you got a problem with Led Zeppelin? No, it's just hard rock. No.
That's why I reframed it there. So, you know, you can have dark music. You can have different frequencies operating from it so that, in actual fact, it creates whatever it creates. But the point is, it's only going to stay there as long as it has an audience. Well, once it doesn't have an audience, the channel's not going to be there. It's similar to what I was saying before. So the chemtrails are serving a point right now to accentuate victim-victimizer, separating the fact that other people have power over us, that other people can hurt us, that there's a controlling structure and so forth. As much as that is accentuating, really we are cooperating with all of that. And the thing is, we're only going to be affected and exposed to the degree that we choose to do so for what serves us on an individual and a collective. And the collective is broken down in categories of areas and also collective of states of frequency of people or state of consciousness of people. So, of course, someone that's vibrating at a lower frequency, the chemtrails are more geared to that, to lower the frequency even more or to accentuate that part of it, so that in essence that people can actually go deeper, darker, or more disconnected for a period of time until they actually make a shift within themselves. So in actual fact, to stay neutral is really no longer seeing victim-victimizer. Does it mean we just stand by and just let it be? Yeah, you can do that too. But at some point, coming to the point of realization, hey, listen, this is what we're doing. How do we now get people to see that we no longer need to cooperate with this and that we no longer need to have this part of this experience to exist is one way. The other way is basically getting to a point where it no longer serves to tune into that. And, of course, guess what? It's going to disappear. Now, yes, in the last few months, it has been intensifying. It has been, you know, having more and more of it coming up. And I've noticed it here, too. And it is you know, you could look at it and say, well, yes, it's the control structure accentuating things and dumping more and more of it because they're noticing things are not as effective as it was before. It is not lowering the people's frequency as much. It is not affecting them. The toxicity level is not affecting them because their vibration is getting out of their range, out of the range of what the chemicals will do. Yeah, you could look at it that way. The other part of it is it's actually accentuating what it serves to do and creating a polarity so that in one way or another that whatever we need to experience with it being there in its presence, we will experience it so that we will awaken a lot quicker and move forward. So it's still serving on a positive level regardless what it is. So what creates what creates us to look at and say what is neutral and what is not neutral is the moment we put judgment in, we're not neutral. The moment we pull the judgment out, then we become much more neutral. The moment we do no longer give it power, see, the moment that we no longer give it power, and I'm not talking about being oblivious to its existence, it's about seeing the perfection in it, seeing that it's something that we are going to transmute and we're going to shift away from at some point when it no longer serves. And by sending love to it, sending love to all the ones that are doing it, mm-hmm. sending love to the stuff that's being spread. And when I say sending love, it's just being in our natural state of unconditional love and seeing the perfection of what is playing out. It's already neutralizing the effect of what it would have done within the chemicals that are being put into the air that are ending up in the soil and ending up in the water and everything else. Will neutralize it automatically so that it won't create and it will become actually conducive to support something more vibrancy and more essence within the everything that it's in contact with. So by and that's how we get into the neutral. So the thing is getting away from the victimizer, getting away with, you know, what's right, what's wrong, you know, and the fact of judgment about it. And then in that neutral state, and as more and more people become that, you'll notice that it'll be less and less, and eventually it won't even exist any longer. It would be, you know, a faraway memory of what, you know, we may have done at one point in time doing the chemtrails. The moment we start putting judgment, the moment we start getting angry, the moment we start putting power into it, then, of course, we will be stimulating it for more to be. Because the moment we see a few of it and we get angry about it, we all of a sudden see much more because it's kind of bringing us to the max.
Right.
At that point. Moment we stop giving it power, you'll see less of it, but you also see that the effects will not be there and eventually it will disappear altogether. I know sometimes say all of this, people turn around and say, well, you know, you live in a different reality, blah, 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 what are you talking about? You know, we are being affected. Only to the degree that you choose it to affect you. And it's the same thing with the example that you gave about, you know, relationships. People coming and going in your life. People, you know, for example, having someone in your life that may treat you a certain way, may not treat you the way you want to be treated, or the fact that they're not in your presence the way you want them and that you have a certain love for them, but they're not, you know, conducive to that love or not reciprocating that love or anything of that nature. And, you know, you feeling bad about it, feeling negative about it, or, you know, feeling hurt by it or anything of that nature. That, again, is your own personal programs coming up. And because the thing is, whatever needs to be played out in the interaction between the two people or group of people or whatever it is going to play out. Remember, there's a soul purpose behind this. There's a soul-to-soul communication. So if somebody is playing a specific role that you may see as negative or see as wrong or see as not respectful or see it that it's not, you know, what is really should be happening or anything of that nature, really that is only a mind judgment, a mind program playing out that it should be a certain way or has certain conditions or something of that nature. But in actual fact, soul to soul, it's actually accentuating the very program that you at the soul level want to get rid of. You know, for example, if somebody is a loved one in your family is pushing the buttons or acting a certain way, it's not that that person's doing anything wrong. That person's actually serving you. They may not be conscious of what they're doing, but they're serving you to answer it because they're the perfect person, because you have stated it in such a way that they represent something very powerful for you and that they should be doing something a certain way. And guess what? They're the ideal person, and they're going to play that part. So until you get to see all the rest of the programs in clarity. And then eventually what happens is either it doesn't bother you in the first place because you have no expectation and the programs no longer come about, and then that person doesn't have to play that role any longer, and all of a sudden the relationship changes completely, where, you know, what may have desired at one point or another may play out because now it's in alignment. So let's bring it back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, and about the alignment. So the fact that I think in one of the scenarios that we were going to play with is that if someone is acting a certain way in your life, a loved one of that nature, and saying, well, there's a misalignment here because my partner, my daughter, my son, my whoever is acting this particular way in my life, so there's a misalignment here. But in actual fact, that is ultimate alignment taking place at a higher level. Not at the mind level, at a higher level, so that you can get done what you need to do, so that you can let go of your attachments. You can let go of stuff that you've carried in a past life where you've carried unfinished business, where, you know, you've had other scenarios of a similar nature playing out. Now you really want to wrap it up and you want to use this higher state of consciousness and the higher vibration that's on the planet to be able to zip right through it, get over it, move on, and ready to play some more.
Wow, that's so intense.
You just answered one of the other questions. I guess you know that anyway, or your soul knows that. Luckily, I gave you the questions before, so I guess there's an overlap there. About the, I mean, that perfectly fits into a question about family that one of our listeners, my dear friend Kelly, had, and. You know, just want to say that that's it, it. So you look at it that way. Once again, it's like there's really no wrong way we can go, even if we do something that seems out of alignment or that's uncomfortable. Like, okay, so let's go into that then. The family thing. Say a family member is doing something that you really don't like. You know, for me, it's that maybe I want people to leave me alone. For other people, it's that everybody is leaving them alone, you know, or get the feeling of like you want somebody to be there for you, to be close with you, and they just don't want to do it. And then it brings up a feeling of deep pain and hurt. And even in this instance, the question was, even if that sadness or that feeling of maybe, I don't know, if it's being alone, you know, can manifest in a physical sense as great pain. So I guess what you're saying is be in that neutral state to see the perfection in it or the gift and how it's allowing her to transmute it even quicker. Is that what you're
saying? The thing is, what's coming up, the pain and all that stuff that you're talking about, is basically programs, expectations and programs that are going. For the example, you know, family members, you know, the thing is, I love the whole thing about the family because it's a very loaded experience, a loaded connection, and it's a very powerful. You know, relationships, families and stuff like that, which are just versions of relationships, really. You know, we don't come together, you know, to be brother, sister, mother, father, daughter, you know, son or anything of that nature in the 3D world of, you know, we all play these particular roles. I'm responsible for you and you're responsible for me and blah, blah, blah. We do this, you do that. We have a certain protocol we need to follow. You need to be my prototype, you know, whatever it is. What you do represents my identity or my I give value to, you know, who I am because you came out to be a certain way or anything of that nature. This is all just 3D stuff that we've created as an alternate reality to create that level of experience and separation. But in actual fact, the reason, you know, we come together, first of all, a family coming together, meaning mother, you know, husband, wife, or couples of any sort, and it doesn't matter the couples being same sex or otherwise, children coming along, other cousins, aunts, uncles, whatever, you know, anyone that comes into play into the family dynamics, you know, it just happened to happen that way. It's all been staged soul to soul. Each and every single soul chooses and made agreements ahead of time. It's like this. Let's take let's look at the scenario before incarnation. The souls meet up, and even after incarnation does the same. The souls meet up and turn around and say, I know, of course, at the mind level we are not able to see that, but we do at some point in time later on, as, you know, you expand in consciousness. Just put it this way. Let's take a scenario, daughter and a mother, okay? So there's a communication ahead of time and say, listen, you know, we've played many roles together, and this time, you know, what serves me is to be the mother, and what serves you is to be the daughter. And there are certain unresolved or unfinished business, other experiences that we haven't, you know, learned and completed in past and previous incarnations that we've had together, you know, playing different roles. So in this time, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to, I'll play this role for you, you play that role, let's take a look at the list of things that we want to get accomplished, and we're going to make an agreement to play this particular role. Well, I'm going to come in at this particular time, and I'm going to play this particular role. I'm going to either be challenging or going to be a breeze to come through. At some point in time, if you do not get to a certain level of consciousness and that you didn't get certain programs, then I'll shift the role and I'll play this other role. So, for example, a child comes in, a mother puts a lot of value in the child, you know, there's a lot of attachment and all this stuff, and then it comes to the fact that there's an attachment going on and there's no movement created, so now the souls go, okay, you know, this, you know, the agreement we made before, if we didn't get to a certain level up to this point in time, we now have to shift roles. Okay, so now I'm going to be the absent child, or I'm going to be the child that's going to push every single button that I can possibly, or I'm going to create insecurities, or I'm going to abandon you in a way where I'm not going to be there for you so that you can be attached to me, so that you can have the experience of seeing those programs that you haven't been able to address up to this point in time. So all of a sudden the roles change, and the roles will change accordingly. And, of course, now the child starts to create. And what happens? That the particular person, the mother, for example, starts to have heartache, starts to have pain, starts to have loneliness. Now, is it lonely because the daughter's not there? Is it loneliness because people are not around you? Well, you could look at it on a human level and say, yeah, I can experience loneliness because there's no one around me. But in actual fact, the loneliness is a program altogether, because we're never alone in the first place. We're all connected as one another. We all love to be in each other's presence. We're all here to play with one another. The only reason that we created the scenario of loneliness is we've alerted all the other souls and say, stay away from me for now, because I need to take care of this loneliness program. So I need to be isolated. I need to have everybody reject me. So as much as you want to come and play with me, don't. This is done at the soul level. Of course, at the mind level, it's going, oh, my God, nobody wants to be with me. Everybody is rejecting me. There's nobody there. I have no partner. I have my own daughter, my own son, my own partner, or this and that has left me or doesn't want anything to do with me, and so forth. That's now triggering all these programs. Why? So that you can experience it, complete it, wrap it up, let it go, so that you can be in a neutral state. Of course, are we here to be alone? No. Well, first of all, we're never alone. But for us to come and play with one another, we're going to play with one another. I don't know how many people you've noticed, or if you've paid attention, the moment that you are no longer playing with the program of loneliness, you have, you have an abundance amount of people that want to be around you. Everywhere you go, people are there. And the fact that you're invited left, right, and center, and at some point you may say, okay, hold off here, you know, I need to have some space for myself too. You know, because the fact that program is no longer necessary, so of course you're going to invite a lot more playmates at the soul level and say, okay, yeah, we're open to play. And then, of course, you're going to go play in different avenues. It doesn't mean that you're done. It means you're maybe done with the lonely thing, but you're going to bring up other things. So the whole idea, to recap all of this, the whole idea of family is to come together to assist each other to move forward, to assist each other for completion, for growth, for accentuated enlightenment, you're coming in to play different roles, and the roles are agreed upon. The roles are put to the degree that it serves. The roles will continue to change as it no longer serves. So it is there. So the whole idea that we come and we have to play mom, dad, this, that, whatever it is just a 3D concept that doesn't serve any longer. It may serve still temporarily because it still brings up old programs, but eventually that is not our operating system. We are family with every single soul that exists on the planet. We are family with every single soul that exists in all realms and all planets and all universes and all everywhere. But you know, the specific family dynamics that come in, you know, are there for service of growth, for expansion, for shifting, for letting go. And this is why the pushing of the buttons. This is why, and of course, you know, the other thing you mentioned is about pain, you know, and the thing is, I we do have to appreciate that, you know, on a human level, we experience pain. And the pain is just an intensified experience based on stories, programs, and so forth that are being activated. The reason that pain comes about is a level of stimulation in a sense, or attention grabbing that is necessary. Because the thing is, if you learn the lesson very easily, for example, something that you need to experience and learn, you observe it, you see it, and say, oh, okay, great, I got this. First of all, I'm not alone. I don't need to be in that experience. I have attachments or expectations or experiences or role-playing that, you know, needs to play out. You see it, you see the dynamics, you see the beauty of it, and then guess what? You transcend it, and you never experience any pain. But because we hold on to it, and there's a certain level of intensity of hand-grabbing and holding on to that program, of course, guess what? It just continues to escalate and intensify, and then eventually turns into pain, and then it turns into something even much powerful. Why? It just wants to push and push and push until you finally say, okay, I'm going to do something about it, or I'm going to let it go, or I'm going to do what I need to do. So the question is, a lot of times people ask, do we need to learn from pain? No. The answer is no. But it is only necessary when all other modes are not, you know, getting our attention and not stimulating us to move forward. It's the same thing with, you know, why did I have this accident? Well, right. You know, is it because I wanted to have the experience? Well, some cases, yes, but in most cases, no. It's because the accident was necessary to finally knock you down enough or to intensify the scenario or situation enough so that you actually would pay attention to what you need to pay attention to. Because the soul is saying, come on, guys, I've given you a lot of cues along the way, and you're ignoring it, so now the alarm clock is going to have this big hammer hitting you on the head, being accident, being illness, being, you know, a heartbreak, or being a separation or something, you know?
Right.
So, no, we don't
and hopefully,
we don't need to, let's put it that way.
Right. But hopefully we can, like, I'm just noticing being able to catch that all the much, like, or to notice these things. And when you were saying that about family, it really gets rid of all the feeling of guilt. I mean, because, I'd be more on the other side of that. I'm more of like an avoider person. You know, I'd rather just try to be like my hermit self. So I would feel a little guilt there for not being in contact. So, you know, but also for the other person, that actually makes me feel better, meaning that if it's bringing up something for them, for the mother in this instance of feeling like alone or lonely, that's actually a program, is what you're saying, which needs to be brought up and but doesn't need to create pain. So the pain is more from like a sense of a grasping or holding on and not allowing for it to be fluid. Like is that what you're saying? If we're holding on and controlling it hurts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like even with that scenario that you were talking about, the daughter avoiding and so forth, right? You know, the daughter doesn't realize at this point in time on a conscious level why it doesn't want to relate with the mother. doesn't mm-hmm. want to be with mom, you know, at this point in time. But somehow there's this essence, this urgence, or no, I shouldn't say urgence, but this pull inside to avoid mom, so that mom could go through the experience that she needs to go through. But, you know, what I can tell you, and this has happened to others that I've worked with or observed or, you know, have been in contact with, where once they've gone over that part of it, where their expectations have dissolved and they're no longer requiring that particular experience for them to learn, all of a sudden, the relationship shifts dramatically in a sense where they have a closeness that they've never had before. I've seen this with one particular person a few years back where once the mother stopped being needy, and I'm not saying this is the case with this, but in a sense right. meaning that the daughter had to be there and it was the daughter had to play this particular role and so forth. When she gave that up and released the daughter, the needy part on any level, because it wasn't only that, it was with her ex too. But in a sense, when she let go of that part of it, because that was just the program again. It's not that there's anything wrong with it. It was just a program that was carried over. Yeah. Once she let go of that, the relationship with the daughter completely changed. And the daughter actually said to the mother, "You are so different, and I really enjoy being with you." And they would start from not ever communicating or even want to be in contact or even returning phone calls, was now communicating on a daily basis, even though they weren't living close to each other, were calling each other just to say hi and to chat on checking on how the day was and what progress right. each other made in their experience from no contact to, you know, having. And then I remember the person saying to me, the mother that I was working with, saying, I'm having now the experience that I've always dreamed about having with my daughter, you know, that we have now. Well, I don't even see her as a daughter. I see her as my best friend. I see her as an equal, a partner in play, where, you know, I'm no longer playing the mother role, the one I have to say what is right, what's wrong, what's good. I got to tell you how things are done. You need to be responsible, respective, because I'm mom. And then the whole baggage with her was the fact that I raised you, I did all this for you, and now you're ignoring me. And once you got rid of all of that was gone. You know, that none of that program was coming up any longer. She said, you know, I see my daughter. I don't even see her as my daughter. I just see her as a beautiful best friend, and that we share and we have no limits. There's no judgment. And that was the other thing, because there's a lot of judgment going back and forth. You know, who was doing what and what was right and what was wrong. You know, why should you be doing this and that? You know, you're raising your daughter or your child the way, you're not raising it the way you're supposed to. None of that, all dissolved in. It was like seeing that the perfection all of it, and the relationship was totally different. Because that's the true nature of us. But, you know, at that time, it was necessary to go through that path until all that letting go was done.
Right. Wow. That makes a lot of sense, that once the person's able to release that program, then that charge would no longer be there. And, you know, that like it's like taking a block out of the way that was there between people, you know, an energetic wall of a sort. That's so cool. And I felt that happen in my life definitely too. Relationships just transforming just simply by me changing my idea about someone. So there's hope for us all. Yay.
Well, of course, there's more than hope. I mean, we're just in, you know, we're in the beautiful dance and manifestation of and playing with one another.
Yeah.
We just upgrade our play, and we just do it all differently. That's all, because you're only going to play the game that you choose. See, this is the other thing. You said another key word there, and I know that we can, you know, play with a lot of things in this. You can do a whole talk on just one topic. But
in
the thing of sense of responsibility, you know, that's a huge one. The sense of responsibility, you know. in relationship, there is no responsibility. We're all there to play with one another. You know, the thing is, as much as we feel that we're responsible for our daughter or our son or anybody else in our life, and I'm just using that as the first level of acknowledgement of play here, that is a concept at the mind level that we've created in an unaltered state where we basically created that separation where we have a sense of responsibility. We are here to play on an equal realm, an equal plane. You know, it doesn't matter if they're a child or they're the parent. You're equal. You're here to teach each other, and you're here to learn from each other. You're here to share and to play with one another. You're here at this point in time within the sense that each individual, parent and child, are in charge of their own experience. They are automatically making agreements to have certain things play amongst each other, but each person is fully responsible for themselves. So even a child being 2 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old, whatever it is, or 2 months old, 2 days old, ultimately is still in charge of what experience they're going to have and is still communicating with parents, communicating with whoever else is in their environment to act and play whatever is for the highest good. So the fact is that say you were a little bit more abusive or, you know, difficult or maybe challenging in one way or another to a child, for example. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the automatic is later on you come to a consciousness, oh, my God, I feel bad. Look how I treated them. That was not fair and all of that stuff. Now, the role that you played, please understand, the role that you played was only played out because you were asked to play the role. Now, it might have been part of your personality, part of your characteristics that you were still working through. Mm-hmm. However, for the interaction to occur between the two of you, of the child and the parent, was because mm-hmm. it was mutually agreed, or else it wouldn't happen. Even though you had a personality that may be aggressive, for example, or, you know, inclination of being that way, you wouldn't act that way if that child did not agree to experience it with you. You would treat them differently, and you would be aggressive somewhere else where you were requested to be aggressive. So the fact is, you're not in a position where you need to go and say, well, I feel bad because of what I've done. That's just a mind-ego mm-hmm. program that sees right, wrong, good, bad, whatever it is, but there is none of that. In essence, mm-hmm. you played whatever role you needed to play. They played the role they needed to play, and it was all mutually agreed, and when it no longer served, then it changed. Period.
Right.
That takes a lot of weight off people when you start looking at it. And it also dissolves the whole idea of forgiveness.
Right.
Because there is none
it's
of
huge.
That either. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's huge. It is. It is huge.
Yeah.
We carry tons of that stuff as a collective on a level of, you know, where people are at this point in time. You know, and this is why we start getting into the whole thing, you know, we have to go back and make amends with people and whatever it is. Remember,
mm-hmm.
whatever was played out at any particular time was perfect, period. I know that's hard to wrap our head around. It was always perfect because it was mutually agreed upon. And now it is no longer agreed upon. It's no longer, that's why it's not playing out. And the thing is, the ego mind will continue to say, well, look what we did, we need to feel bad, or the fact that somebody did something to us, now we need to, you know, hold a grudge or hold all that stuff. Remember, if dad, mom, or friend, or brother, or somebody, sister, whatever, was nasty to you, hurt you, whatever it is, what we call hurt, because they played a specific role, they played it because you asked them to do it so that you can have that particular experience, so that you can wrap up certain other aspects of yourself. Or else it would never, ever, ever, ever happen. Period.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just absolved me of all my guilt surrounding how mean I am to my 4-year-old daughter at times. I don't know how you knew about that.
No, that one you can't get out of the story because you are one mean woman.
Oh, thank you. I was just kidding. I was about to joke, pretend I was crying like you hurt my feelings, but it's okay. Yeah.
No, I mean, you're playing the role that your daughter's asking you to play out, period. So if she ever turns around and comes to you and says, Mom, why are you acting this way? Well, you asked me to. That's all. I mean, a little bit mind-bending at that point in time. Say, what do you mean I asked you to? Yes, you did. Soul to soul, we did agree to this. But
oh, my God, I'm going to remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Now that you're done with this part of it, I don't have to play my role. Thank you. You know, that role is getting a little tiring for me. I didn't really enjoy being that mean all the time. So I'm glad that you finally got it, so I could stop playing the role. That's a real twister for mine.
Yeah. I guess, well, maybe next year she'll understand that one. We'll save that one for later. But, it's just like, you know, the sense of relief that your words bring is really palpable and wonderful. So very nice way of flowing together several different things. And, you know, this leads to, you've mentioned past lives several times in the conversation tonight. And one of our listeners had a question about that. So can I ask you a new question, Franco? Hello? Uh-oh. Okay. Let's see. Franco has dropped. I'm sure. Okay. Well, I'm sure he'll call back in. That's quite all right because I'm here with all of you. We're together. And let's spend some time talking about something else. I'll just mention what her question is. I'm going to have to repeat it to Franco. Franco, if you can hear me, please call back into the show. I'm sure he'll be back with us. But one of the questions we had was about past life timelines. And, here is Franco. Hold on a second. Here we go. Hello, is this Franco? Oh, no.
Yes, it is. Wrong.
Oh, good.
Is it?
Yay. It
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I got dropped
it's
there.
You. I know. Oh, I'm so glad
you're
back.
All of a sudden I got a dial tone. I go, oh, okay. It just got disconnected.
I know. I was like, Franco. Good. That wasn't too long. That wasn't too long at all. And I didn't have to spend too much time alone. I'm not alone because I don't feel alone. I'm with all the listeners. But now I don't have to repeat the question too many times. So Franco.
Well, I wanted to say one thing before you get into that next part.
Sure.
And it's just a recap. It's just a polishing
great
off of what we were talking about. Now,
mm-hmm.
in the sense, what I was just finished saying regarding the role that you were playing with your daughter, being mean, whatever it is, what we deem as mean,
right,
but playing that particular role, because it is, you know, there
mm-hmm.
is no judgment about whatever role. Now, this is also for your personal self, too. So in a sense, you
mm-hmm.
observe your automatic reaction. Now, even though it's agreed upon, if there's an emotional charge on your end, then that emotional charge is indicating to you that this program is necessary to be wrapped up, taken care of. Now, if your daughter asks at the soul level to be mean towards her, you can be, and I'm using this loosely, I mean, you're just playing the role, okay? Playing the role, what we may deem as mean, you will be able to play it, but in a neutral state. You will not be emotionally charged. I wanted to clarify that, because if it's emotionally charged for you, that is your reflection to you. It is your cue to you that you need to work on your program. It doesn't matter what you're playing out. It's just showing to you that you need to take care of that. That's your part of it. The other part of what the daughter requires, you can still play the part, become neutral. You can use emotions to play a part in neutrality, where there is not an emotional charge which is stimulating a program within yourself. I want to clarify that because I don't want anybody to say, oh, okay, because I'm going to be playing this part because my daughter's asking me or my friends are asking me or my coworkers are asking me.
Right.
They may ask, but at the same time, you need to notice how the role is played, if it's emotionally charged or not. If it's not, then it is just a role being played. But at some point, I have to add this other part, at some point, you do choose no longer to play the role in that format, meaning I no longer need to be not emotionally charged, but angry, or play the part, the angry part. I no longer choose to do that. You can easily back out of that and just say, okay, I'm not going to play that part anymore, and it's done. And if the other person or people require somebody to play, somebody else will step in to do it.
Okay.
I want to add that to clarify, because sometimes we get a little different understanding of where, you know, we go in and, oh, yeah, I can justify the fact that I can be angry because there's all these people that want me to be angry, you know. So it doesn't work that way. Okay?
So in other words,
go ahead and play with the question.
So in other words, I don't have carte blanche to be angry and mean to everybody that I know. Oh, well.
Sorry to pop your little balloon.
I'm sorry, I'm in such a goofy mood tonight. You know, I'm like the opposite of the angry person. Yeah, it's fun. I feel like my voice is cracking, though. Okay, I'm going to have to try to comment. I'm having a hard time. I can almost like not stop myself from laughing. So you have to please excuse me, everyone. I'm just having such a great time. I feel a little bit on the spot that you brought that up. I don't know, maybe that was my own mind that made me get in there, that was my issue too. But I appreciate that, because that's actually been, I think I've mentioned it to you, that's been a concern of mine for quite some time. I just didn't expect to have me be like feeling put on the spot. So it's all good. It's all good. I'm happy for it.
Well, you know, you have to understand this is that this was not for you only.
I know.
It was only like a 2% of it for you. The rest of it is that a lot of people are dealing with the same thing. And I don't mean only in anger. I'm talking about any role, period.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the clarification, it was just not just for yourself. You just happened to be the one that had created the stage for it. This was all co-created by all the beautiful souls that are on and will be on that needed to hear this.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And I felt very connected to what you were saying before that related to other people. So I'm sure I'm happy to have people can be able to connect with these things, because it's true. Interpersonally, a lot of stuff is coming up for people. So I think that was an excellent clarification, and thank you for saying that, Franco. And now you said we could move on to the next question.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, great. Okay, so this is about past life timelines, and what this person asked was, do we get caught in past life timelines, and if so, how do we move out of them? I mean, there was some question about, there was some heavy issues this listener was mentioning about, like, a family history of having sexual pedophiles in there as a grandfather, and trying to release, like, that history in their DNA, and just somebody who's very, like, aware of their programs, and also experiencing pain in the lower chakras, they think that it might be related to this history in the family. And I don't know how it relates to the past life timelines, but I don't know what you could say about this. It's a little confusing to me, but I do understand, you know, how the past life timeline relates to the family history issue. Can you say about, I mean, I know that a lot of people that are listening to the show do have an understanding of past life. And we were mentioning this earlier in the show, so I think it's a fascinating topic. Do you understand the question?
I'll play with it, and we'll let it expand from there. The first thing is, we don't get caught in past lives. I mean, in a sense, there are scenarios where we will relive a certain past life, for us to bring it to completion. Okay? So when I say relive, the way things are right now is that we really don't want to use the energies and the staging of a past life to move forward. We want to create it in this lifetime within the energies that we are here, with the consciousness that we are playing out here now. So we will create similarities to a past life scenario that we haven't completed. In that is the first choice. There is the alternate, which, you know, over years have been the case, but, you know, is becoming less and less, is the fact of us re-experiencing a past life. For example, we'll have flashes of something that has occurred in a past life, you know, in a different embodiment with a different, scenery and with different souls that we played, or even similar souls that we may have played in this lifetime. So in that particular case, but we're never stuck in it. We'll just continue activating until we get what we need to get out of it and create a completion from it. Now, there are scenario situations where we will carry the pains ailments or whatever you want to call it, the different experiences that we may have carried from a past life, for example, is brought forth in this lifetime only to be able to access whatever that we weren't able to access in this particular time. For example, if we can't recreate it in the staging that we have now, especially everything is accelerating right now, and it's going to take too complex, and it's going to take people out of role players, out of their character, or shifting, or we haven't made the alignments with certain people, then what will play out is that we will use it either in dream states, or we will have a bringing back of a past life event only to bring it to light so that we can address it. Now, so if there's someone is feeling some powerful experience, now there are times that we also create or carry forth scenarios of, for example, you come into a life stream where, you know, you have family members down the lineage that may have played certain roles. So they may carry a certain frequency still in there. So we may tap into those frequencies to only accentuate something from the past. Now, the reason it's from the past is that stuff that wasn't completed at that time, and even though it might have been repeated over and over again in multitudes of lives, each and every time it has not been resolved. So in this lifetime, because, of course, the main goal is to, or the main push is to get things wrapped up from all lifetimes and bring everything to real time and create everything completely anew, it's going to bring up anything and everything from any lifetime that we had before. Now, and at times it will create physical ailments in that. So it's a matter of stepping into it, but it, not to give power to what any role has been played, or the judgment behind it, or the right and wrong and good and bad about it. Because, you know, even if you bring up the whole idea of a pedophile, you know, again, that's just an experience. Is it a high vibration experience? Not really. But is it a really low experience? No. I mean, an experience is an experience, but it is not of something that you would, you know, choose to create. Because, again, in a pedophile scenario, in most cases, it's a victim-victimizer. So is that of a low vibration? Yes. Is it of a 3D concept? Yes. Do we need to move beyond that? Yes, absolutely. So if we're bringing in the consciousness of a higher consciousness into it, you'll now just see it as an experience. And now you can go into it, and instead of healing it, because then we're now looking at it as broken, we need to heal it. Instead of going in with an energy of healing and going in with an energy of completion and transformation, you now step into it, see, coming in with a higher consciousness and saying, okay, this has played out, and with the consciousness that I've carried thus far and what I've agreed to take on up to this point in time has created these intense states. Now, with this higher consciousness, I see the perfection in it. Now, let me step into it and observe what the lesson was behind it, what I needed to get out of it and do with it, and what I need to transcend through. And going in with that state, and without giving power to the physical discomfort or giving power to the right, wrong, good, bad, you know, a scenario, victim-victimizer scenario that have played in the past, because, and not giving power into any of that, then you can actually move through it a lot quicker, and you'll be able to see it and wrap it up a lot quicker. And you'll notice that you won't have the intensity of the pain in the physicality if there is something of that nature. For example, some people lock in energies in their chakras, you know, so that in essence that you will feel certain chakras get blocked or certain levels of pain, there's no movement or, you know, it will block them from having certain experiences that would be natural and beautiful to something that would turn into a painful state. The painful state is, again, because of the right, wrong, good, bad, victimizer state that is locked in there. So if you go in with the higher consciousness that it was just an experience and you want to learn from it and you want to transcend it, then you will be able to move through it quicker. And you'll notice that all of that will unlock and the energies can be cleared. Now, there are certain people that can help you facilitate that if you're not capable, because, you know, if the thing becomes still very intense, you can do that. But in essence, in most cases, by going in with the higher consciousness and seeing it as an experience and moving through it that way, and bringing in the higher energy that we have within our surroundings to be able to maneuver through it, it becomes easier to transcend that part of it. And then you step back into the play, because that's really, we've come here to play. We've come here to experience life, and there is no right, wrong, good, bad, victimizer. Those were all superimposed creations that we've created that we want to clear at this point in time. So the first part of the answer, no, we can't get stuck in it, but we can continue repeating it or intensifying or holding it in place until we actually come in with that higher consciousness and address it in that higher consciousness, so that you actually wrap it up, get what you need to do. Do we actually play out something of a past life? Only if what we can stage on this lifetime is not conducive or intense enough or staged in a way that would be the best scenario to move through it? Yes. In cases, will we solicit assistance by other souls? For example, tapping into their energies, say, for example, family members being pedophiles or anything of that nature, tapping into their energy to intensify the right, wrong, good, bad, victimizer aspect of it, so that you can clarify, yes, you can do that part of it. But again, all of it is temporary. All of it you just bring in as part of it. So it's like you're creating this beautiful collage. Now you're going to bring in the colors, the tools, the different energies, whatever is necessary to create whatever you want to create. So now you're creating a wrapping up. You're creating a clarification in the learning that you need to learn from those past experiences, because you, again, so you can bring yourself back into the flow state, the play state, the state of movement, and get out of that locked up state that you were in. So that's the key there, is to bring it into the consciousness of there's none of those other judgments that we've allowed.
Right.
Judgment is very powerful, because judgment is right, wrong, good, bad, you know, victim, victimizer. Judgment, you take that component out, there's nothing to judge. Everything's an experience. Learn from it, see what's there, see it as a play, see it as a, in a light state, then you can move through it. Even if there's intensity in the physical aspect of things, you can experience it through that, but it will be just something that you will experience and then release it automatically, really.
Right.
Hopefully that's clarifies it enough there.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent answer. And, you know, the main thing I heard you saying at the end, which really resonated for me, is letting go of the judgment, you know, because that is the victim-victimizer thing. It's you know, and yet it is hard for people when strong emotions come up around it, but that just means there's things that are left to clear. But
yeah.
That is that's a multi-layered answer to a question that, you know, had several levels to it. And
there's definitely things that can, you know, relate to issues that don't even have to do with exactly that. It's, you know, the issue of being neutral is really the need for letting go of that judgment. And once you do that, then you could see how everything plays a role.
Neutrality is a very powerful, powerful tool. Because the moment you step into neutrality, there is no right or wrong, good or bad, or victim, victimizer, or any judgment of any sort. You're in a neutral state, then you see the bigger picture. See, in neutrality, you broaden the spectrum of the whole thing. You see the big picture, and then you can see it very objectively through it and be able to do what you need to do, rather than getting caught up in the emotion, getting caught up in the stories, the programs, and whatever else is there, so that you can actually see the programs in that neutral state and really maneuver it. So, yeah, that's perfect right there. I mean, if you go in exactly for that question and you go in that neutral state to look at whatever is there, then you would be able to move through it very, very easily and quickly. Now, sometimes, you know, it becomes intense. You may need somebody to come in neutrality. Now, the key to the fun part comes in is because, you know, a lot of times there are loving people that come in and are facilitators that will facilitate. But, you know, you would want to link up with a facilitator that comes in neutrality, does not, you know, carry right, wrong, good, bad. Because I've seen facilitators that come in and say, oh, yeah, they had no right to do that. No, I can see why you're going through this because that was a horrible experience and stuff like that. Now you're creating you're creating polarities. You're giving power to one side or the other, and that does not create clarity, clarification, and does not get you the lesson. Because a lot of times, if you're coming in, especially in the forgiveness, because the moment you go into that, I have to forgive somebody, then there was a right and there was a wrong, there was a victimizer, there was a victim. I need to be the bigger person to let go of the other. You know, the other person's indiscretion or whatever they did and whatever role that they played. Does it absolutely clear you? No. You know, you may create some appeasement for a short period of time, and all of a sudden later on the thing gets activated in another form. But when you come in with the fact that none of that exists and you come in with neutrality, you actually see the program for what it is and how it served and whatever it is, and you move on beyond that, done. It gets done much more efficiently and completely.
Great. Well, that's perfect. You know, and wow, let's check. Let me look at the time here because it feels like, all right, well, we've now gone past the 2 hour. We're at 10:17. So I just want to check with you. Do you need a break or should we, I think we need to, you know, can we take one more question? And then you
it's up to you. I mean, a lot of people are, you know, if they've been on and they need to have a break.
Need a break?
Fine, because, I mean, going over 2 hours is a challenge for people.
That's right, and people might need, like, a little refreshment break. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take a five-minute break from now? And right now, problem when I don't wear glasses, I'm looking at my clock here.
It's 10:17 on my end.
Okay, good. 10:17. I actually have 10:18 now. So why don't we say we'll come back? We'll come back at 10:23. So that's East Coast time. That's 5 minutes. I'm going to play a little music right now, and if I could find the music, I'm going to play it, and. In the meantime, we'll still come back at 10:23, so we'll be with you all in a moment, and here we go. Okay, we'll be back in 5 minutes at 10:23. See you soon. Thanks, Franco.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Well, we're back again almost immediately because...
Okay, sorry, we had a little problem there with the music. We're going to continue for 3 more minutes. Okay, everyone. We're back on with the C.J. Miller Show with special guest Franco Di Nicola. Are you with us, Franco?
Yes, I am.
Hey, I had a little mishap there with my music. I guess I'm not the best DJ in the world, but...
Sounded okay.
Yeah, I was... Yeah, you know, somebody changed the boards on me here, and where are my glasses? This is a mistake I made. I couldn't see a thing, and then I pushed some other buttons. But what do you know? I guess I better stick to talk radio. But we're back, so I hope everybody feels refreshed. And all right now. So Franco, how are you feeling, my dear?
Good.
Yeah.
Good. See, I can't tell. See, to me, the time does not exist when I'm doing this work. So
excellent.
It's good to have a kind of a... I always ask people, and I keep forgetting to do so, but ask people to, when it reaches a certain time, flag me so that we actually stop so people can take a break, you know, to do a bathroom or drink something
right.
or whatever it is. Because I could go through 3 hours and not even realize it at all. So... I don't notice it. Even when I'm on stage doing it in live events, you know, usually the people that are working with me flag me down when the time comes because I can't tell the difference with time. So, in essence, I can be talking. To me, it seems like I've been only talking 15 minutes. The next thing you know, it's an hour and a half or something like that. So, usually I have them count me down, and I'm always surprised because when they, you know, they say, okay, you got 5 more minutes, and I go, whoa, already, you know. So I didn't realize, you know, we're already 2.5 hours practically. So it was great that you asked that.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, one of us has to to man the boards and be the grounded one. So I'm glad we make a good pair here. As long as I can be on top of it. Sometimes I get into a little trance when you're talking too. So it's, but tonight the energy is really high. And, you know, so we don't, it is kind of, you know, we don't have a lot of time left, and we do want to leave a little bit of time at the end to kind of go over. I want to be able to tell people what your next events are and stuff. So how do you want to do this? Do you think, do we have time for one more simple question, and then we'll have a wrap-up time for the show?
Well, it's up to you, yeah. We can shorten the answers. I mean, I'm pretty...
Okay.
I can give shorter answers and leave a teaser.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see about that. I don't know. I don't know if I want to hold you to that. I like the long answers. I'm sure most people do anyway, unless they just can't even take it and they're falling asleep, which sometimes happens. That doesn't mean we're not getting the effects of it, I guess, right? Because people could even fall asleep. Yeah, okay, good.
But the beauty is that you have the replays, and you can always go back to it later to catch what we didn't catch. And I usually endorse people to listen to it again at a later date, because it's amazing what you hear the second or third time. It's stuff that, you know, you may have heard it, but you didn't grasp it all because you weren't quite ready, or you were in a state where you weren't ready for all of that. And the next time you hear it, because I've had many times people say, well, I didn't realize you said all that, or you said this, or you said that, you know. Until I listen to the replay. So, anyways, it's there, and I'm glad that you make it available for people to do so. But anyways, we could play with shorter answers. The thing is, the only reason the answers get long is because the fact that, you know, there's so many facets of it that are tied into it. One leads to the next, and the next, and the next. And you know, I'd like to explain all aspects of it so you don't walk away with only bits and pieces of it, and you know, that's kind of my thing, that I when my soul is sharing, it shares a bigger chunk of it. So sometimes people say, well, can you just give me a short version of it? But I said, yeah, I can, but at the same time, it may leave you hanging. But anyways, that's the plan.
Okay. I love it. It's all good to me, and I'm sure to all our listeners as well. All right. This is one last question, and please, you know, we didn't get a chance to do everybody's questions tonight, but beautiful questions, and thank you so much for asking them. This is one from a listener named Fred, he was the first person to ask questions when I put that out there a couple of weeks ago. Kind of general, he's asking about what's going on behind the veil, updates about changes going on within the world, vibrations, humanity, aliens. So, you know, you could pick any one of those. I figured maybe you could tell us about what is really going on behind the scenes, and anything you can share with us about any of those. Pick one.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty big one there. But
pretty broad, I know.
Yeah, at the same time, I know we did touch a bit of it right at the beginning of what, you know, is happening behind the scenes and so forth. I mean, there's lots going on. It's, you know, the thing is, it's interesting because there's so much work being done, so much staging, so many modifications going on. There's so much involvement. Not only there's souls on the planet that have, you know, that are beings, first of all, that are coming from other planets that have taken on, others that have come in programmed already to create change that are on the forefront. There are people that are, you know, awakening and are shifting and they're taking on a role and playing different roles. So there's so much going on. Energetically, we're constantly getting, I can't say bombarded, but we're getting new phases of frequencies coming through, new programs, downloads. And the downloads are going into collective consciousness, but it's also going into different pockets of consciousness, going in directly to the people that are receptive. Everybody is receiving something of some form, one way or another. Everyone's being affected no matter what, even though it's not reflective in their experiential realm, in the sense that, you know, they act different, they think different, and so forth, to a noticeable degree. However, it is already changing. The fact that it's stimulating confusion, is the fact that it's stimulating questions, is the fact that it's stimulating uncertainty, the fact that they're feeling that unstable, means that they are being affected by what's coming through. Now, the purpose of everything that's coming through at this point in time is, of course, you know, is to change our state of being, is changing our staging of our human experience, but also our retooling and retuning our planet. We are at this point in time, dissolving in many cases the superimposed programs, the superimposed matrix that was put on the planet to create a different reality, different realm of experience. I won't get into all those details because now we can get into another 20-minute talk. But so there's lots of that. And now, behind the scenes, you know, of course, there's lots of work being done on so many realms. Now, there are beings that are coming and going, and what we call extraterrestrials and so forth, they're coming and going. Different ones have different roles. There's councils that are taking place where they are coming together and each are assigning different parts of it. There is a lot playing out to make sure that we do not go down one path versus the other. For example, going into an outright war scenario, in a sense, where, you know, you'll notice that there's a lot of talk, there's a lot of, you know, flexing of egos, there's a lot of stimulation going on, but it doesn't pan out because there's a lot playing out in that regard. A lot of the natural disasters or the degree of degradation of the operating system of what we call the planetary ecological aspect of it is being modified constantly so that it does not completely deteriorate, so that it does not collapse, mm-hmm. in a sense, because it was staged to do so because of the lower energies and frequencies coming through. But and we have not changed enough on the conscious level to reverse that, but energetically and the codes that are coming through that are being streamed from our own sun, it is streamed from the galactic sun, central sun, that is being also streamed by the different planets, and also from source codes that are coming through, are making sure that there's a certain level of integrity held within the ecological system so it doesn't self-destruct. So giving us a little bit more time to get, you know, ourselves together and get our stuff wrapped up. So in that regard, as for, you know, visitations, there is going on, nothing of massive yet. That will be at some point in time when the collective is ready for it. As for in regards to taking away our what we can call our free will or anything of that nature, that it is basically restoring a higher level of free will so that we can actually maneuver a little bit more. So the fact that there's influence, there is not, you know, even though the changes that are going on at this point in time are greatly stimulated and greatly induced beyond what we would be capable on a conscious level, it is still in alignment with our souls because of the fact that we are not quite there yet, we're soliciting assistance, and the assistance is done with great love. Now, so in that regards, everything is still moving positively forward. As much as it, sometimes it looks very negative or it gets darker or feels darker, again, it's because things are illuminated, are being exposed more. For example, you know, we can live in an oblivious state where, you know, of course, the control structure, the way things, our systems have been on the planet, you know, everything that's been restricted and so forth. When we were in a less conscious state, when we were more sleep state, you know, it's like we sleep through it. We basically, it's whatever it is. Oh, that's what we need to deal with. This is all there is and blah, 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 and all of that. So even though we had a control structure, we didn't even know that. We didn't know that. We thought this is the way it is. Now, of course, it's all coming to the surface that there's a control structure, there's this, there's that, this is not our real operating system, that we went through a modification and so forth. Now we're starting to notice that. So, of course, it looks more bleak, it looks massive, it looks darker, it looks, you know, that, but it, in essence, it isn't. It's just, it was always there, we just now can see it, and now we can start transmuting it. And that's what's doing, it's transmuting it. The power given, the energies that supported the empowerment of the structures and control systems and anyone playing in the darker state of being at that point in time are being dissolved in a sense where they are not able to access it. So again, it's still movement forward in that way. So regardless what's playing out, if you want to look at the big picture, regardless what is playing out, it's all to serve. All of it is to serve. It doesn't matter if there's any doomsayers or anything of that nature. The doomsayers are playing only a role to actually create more fear for the people that are still utilizing fear as their way and modality to shift, you know, getting into the depth of it. But in actual fact, are we going to exterminate ourselves? Are we going to destroy things and so forth? No, no, and no. And we are making sure, and when I say we being on a larger scale of a collective base that we are, meaning the souls on the planet, the souls that are assisting on the planet, and the beings that are part and parcel of our family that are, you know, directly connected with our evolutionary cycle because they're interconnected to what we do that affects them and so forth. So all of it is that way. At the highest level of state of beingness at this point in time, it would not be conducive for us to go and replay self-destruct mode at this point. So it's not going to occur. As for the souls coming and going on the planet, the souls are going to utilize whatever's happening at this point in time. There's going to be exits, but there's also going to be new entries. There's going to be body exchange, blah, blah, blah. I won't even get into that right now. But in essence, there's a lot in that playing out. But again, it is nothing that we should give power to and see it as a negative, but to see it that it's a transformation and that we're fully in charge through. Mm-hmm. No soul will experience anything that it does not. I mean, as much as, you know, there's a lot of energies that can take over a certain part of us on a physical plane, but even that, it will be only temporarily until we get our own power from it, from dissolving what brought us into that state. And then, of course, it all dissolves. So, in actual fact, we're always and always will be in charge of our journey experience. So as much as the mind will say, I want one thing, the soul always supersedes and says, okay, this is what we're going to do. And if the soul doesn't want to be on a planet because it doesn't want to be in that particular physicality, it can change that, it can leave, and it can give it up for some other soul to step in. It can do lots of different things. But it's not done by force. And we don't need to give power to the fact, if I don't get this done, you know, I'm going to be out of here type of thing. In a way, there's a certain level of truth to that, but the truth is not the fact that if I don't get it done, I'm toast. It's that if I don't get it done, I'm not going to stay in this physicality. I will come back some other time, some other place, you know, another planet, do whatever would be conducive, you know, type of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of painting a bit of a picture. Is there anything specific you want to cover? Because there's so much to cover. I mean,
That was like a nice short, you know, frame for that question, because you could go in many different areas. And I know, I mean, I think I even said that after we talked the first hour of the show. I was like, I think you kind of answered some of these questions. You know, and some of this we have talked about in other shows. You know, I know what you're talking about, souls leaving, and, you know, there was a talk, we talked about walk-ins in another show, and we don't have enough time to really, you know, revisit that, but the sense is that there's nothing so scary, there's nothing that, like, really bad that's going to happen, and if our consciousness, what I'm understanding from what you're saying, Franco, is that when our consciousness expands to such a point, we actually can transmute the lower vibrations just through that expanded consciousness. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually, with that expanded consciousness, you can tune in, because there's so many bands of frequencies here that you can, you know, we don't call it an alternate Earth, but you can go in the same, you can be in the same stage and only experience a part of it. So in actual fact, if there's intense things happening in a certain area or going to be happening in a certain area, you will not don't need that particular experience because of your consciousness, of course, you're not going to be there, or in essence, you're going to be in a band of frequency where you're not affected by it by any means. And the only reason you're affected is because it serves you, because it's somehow it's going to be a stimuli for you to make changes or to clear or to wrap up whatever you needed to wrap up. The other thing is, too, you'll notice in certain parts of the world or areas that people may be still asleep, and those are clusters where they're still playing out that part of the role. It doesn't mean there's no progress being made. You have to understand each pocket contributes to the next. So if there's a group of people in a certain area that are playing a denser role, they're in essence for the collective are playing out the rest of it, so that, you know, there's a part of us extended there to finish that part of it up. It doesn't mean that, oh, I'm in that area and this area is just going to self-exterminate, because once that part of it is done, it can actually flip and switch completely over in no time.
Cool. Oh, God, you know, I just remembered one question that was asked by a couple people, and I wasn't going to bring this up, but if you could maybe address it, briefly, I'm making a joke, if you can make a brief answer to this question, what about that plane in, you know, and I don't watch the news, so I barely knew anything about this thing, but there's that plane that disappeared around Malaysia or something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have you heard about that? I know you don't watch the
news
either.
Yeah, I heard about it because you know, people have posted it on Facebook, and the few times I've been on there, I've seen it. And there's a lot of speculation, a lot of different stories. It's crashed, or it's been found, or it's not been found, or it vanished, and all that type of stuff. This whole scenario was staged such a way to create a lot of confusion, a lot of complexity, and to see that there's something outside, because we like to explain everything, in a sense. So there's a purpose for what has occurred with it. And the potentiality at this point in time, because it is in an altered state of a reality at this moment, this whole airplane scenario, with all the beautiful souls that are on it, because it needed to play out that way, because there was something being staged at this point in time energetically, from what I can see, at the time, that was not in alignment of the next phase of what's going on. So it's been temporarily bleeped out of existence to create the experience it is. Now, there's a high probability, potentiality, let's call it that, that it will return, per se, and the passengers that were there will have gone through either non-return, or it would return with a different level of consciousness because of the exposure that I'm not going to get into the details, because there is a lot of different versions and it can create, and I don't want to be the one saying what has happened or not, because it kind of goes into a realm that will, you know, sometimes people say, well, then he's becoming a quack, you know, or something like that, saying what he's saying. But in essence, what has occurred is perfect for what it needs to take place. We have other dimensions that you can bleep into, and it can be guided by other beings that have the technology to do so. So that it can, it's like the Bermuda Triangle, you can actually go into the timeline and expose itself. So that's kind of what's played out. It can show up at some point back in as a crash plane, or can come back in as it just shows up somewhere, or something of that nature. The re-entry has not been determined 100%, but at some point it wants to make such a splash so that it will shift the consciousness. And then also the passengers that were in there, so there's a lot of key passengers that had certain technologies that would not be conducive at this point in time. So you have to understand there are agreements that certain things do not play out at a particular time in a certain state of consciousness, because it would offset the direction that things need to go. You have to understand, even having nuclear activation at this point in time, in any form of grand scale, is not acceptable. It's not going to occur because there is intervention that will step in and has been for quite a few years now already, because we've had this opportunity along many, many times. You have to understand, we have partner, brother, sister souls that have the technology to get in there and modify so that disarm certain things so that certain scenarios don't work. They play out, including some of the things that they were staging, what do they call, false flags and stuff like that that were going to be played out that would be massive in the United States and other parts of the world where nuclear weaponry would be utilized. Those were not ever executed and were actually deviated so that it would not play out, because again, it would throw us off path of the direction we need to go. As much as there are souls that would love to still play with that because of the fact that they're still in that state of consciousness, they will have to find another way to do it rather than the other modality. So anyway, the scenario. So it's been kind of, I wouldn't say evaporated, but it has been, the plane has been altered, moved into a different reality, which has the possibility of returning at some point in time with an advanced state of consciousness by the passengers of the ones that are going to and going not to be there. And there's a possibility it won't return, which is slimmer, and there's the possibility that they will bring and share something that is coming from a fifth-dimensional consciousness in an inner part of our planet. And I won't say any more.
Whoa, that's so intense. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, I'm having a reaction to that. That's really... So, all right, you won't say anything more. Are you still here? Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
They're like, okay.
I'm just saying about the airplane thing.
No, I know. So they could have gone to the inner Earth, or they could just be in another dimension. They're basically in another dimension. And that's just so intense, like that they'll come back with a fifth-dimensional consciousness or...
Well, we're kind of exposed to that, yeah.
Talk about a trip, man, that they're taking. They didn't know.
Yeah, because some of the key people in there were quite a few of them that were experimenting with creating electronic war and wars or to stimulate that part of it. They had the technology, they had the know-how, and so forth. So, in essence, for them to be able to continue to coordinate in that direction would not be conducive. So, in a sense, there was an intervention done. And the intervention plays in a couple of roles because, first of all, look at all the stirring that it's causing. Look at all the questioning that it's causing. It's blowing a lot of people's mind. How can this thing disappear? And, of course, you're going to get false information. Well, yeah, we've seen it in somebody's backyard, or we've seen it here, and we've seen it there, you know. There's so much stuff that they'll create, but because people just can't accept the fact that it can just disappear, you know. Just shift into a different reality, and then can return at some point in time, you know, and be. So we'll see how it all unfolds.
Cool.
I mean, it depends on which direction it's going to be the most conducive at this point in time. But regardless, it is a very powerful, positive unfoldment in that regard.
Yeah. I think we're definitely hearing that it's like avoiding what could have been a big problem. And, you know, I have heard about this disarming of nuclear warheads and things like that, that after the no interference rule went away or dissolved, then more of that stuff started happening here on the Earth. So I just want to say yay, and that's awesome. And the only sad thing is for the people that were the innocent bystanders on that plane. But maybe
there wasn't any.
You know. Oh, there wasn't any.
No. See, the thing is, each and every single soul agreed to be exposed.
Okay.
To that.
Right.
There was not a single soul that ended up that's on their plane, having an experience that they didn't agree. Because if they weren't going to be in agreement to be there, they would have missed the plane, the flight, they would have booked another flight, they wouldn't be on that airplane.
Right.
So everyone that's on that airplane had previously agreed okay, you're going to go for a ride, and this is what you're going to experience. You're going to shift realities, and you're going to that. I mean, at the mind level, of course, none of them knew that, but at the soul level, saying, yes, okay, we'll be part of it. So there are no victims to it, and there's no innocent, you know, per se, because, for some
reason,
you know, nothing was forced upon anyone there. Let's put it this way. We just created a ride. This is going to happen. It's specifically for certain, say, 50 people or whatever it was that we're supposed to be, and that seems to be the number, 50 people that have actually needed it the most. But anyone wants to volunteer to be part of this, and of course, all the hands go up, and when I say hands, I mean at the soul level, saying, yeah, we want to be part of it. So they joined and ended up making the plane. I don't know how many people were in there, 400 and something or whatever, 200 and something. I don't even know. I have no idea. But so all the souls that decided to be part of it were in for the ride.
Wow. This
now, the other part of it, too, you have to understand, they have families. So the families are now dealing with loss. Now, their souls turn around and say, yeah, I need to have this loss. And the unknowing, because you don't even know what happened. You know, some people are tapping into the energy of, okay, the plane crashed, and or the plane, something happened, or got hijacked, or whatever, you know, whatever it is. But their family members are missing. So it creates stimulation of certain emotions, certain programs coming up, and so forth in the family dynamic, you know. So those souls have agreed to have that experience, too, because that wouldn't have happened either. So look, it's all connected. There's nothing that happens against anybody's will.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I get it. And thank you for like elucidating that, because again, that just brings that overwhelming like sense of peace, and that everything's coming along as it's supposed to be for a greater purpose. And you know, perfect way to kind of come to an ending of the show, because here we are with less than 10 minutes to finish up in our 3-hour time. So I know you said you wanted to go only 2 hours tonight, Frank. You're like, oh, we'll go 2 hours. I knew we were going to go longer, so. But I'm always happy. This is my joy in life, to be here with you and all of our listeners. So this is just so great. And gosh, I just, you know, just want to say thank you so much for spending all this time giving all this great information. And like, I've had a lot of comments during the show of people being like, wow, this is such a great show. And, you know, really feeling like these answers you're giving are giving a lot of clarity. So the mission has been accomplished, from confusion to clarity, for sure. Yeah. So, you know, we didn't schedule our next show yet, but I wanted to ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot in front of everybody. Can you do a show on May 6th? I'm 1 month away on a Tuesday.
I would imagine so. I'm going to have to
look
at my calendar at this point.
Yeah, we could confirm at a later date, but just to kind of, I'll always put it out on Facebook, of course. And as soon as I know, I can let people, you know, I'll just put out the message on Facebook. So everybody, just stay tuned to us on Facebook. Friend us if you're not already friends with us. And, you know, keep abreast of the information. I also want to, so we could do it May 6th. We'll see when we're going to be able to reconvene for our episode 5 of the CJ Miller Show.
Yeah. To have people share it with other people, you know, the show, because you're assisting other facets of yourself. It's not just for us.
Definitely.
It's for everybody, you know. So even if, you know, people that would be more skeptical. It looks good for me at the moment. If something changes, I'll let you know. But at this point, it looks okay.
Okay, great. So May 6th looks good. But we will let you know at a later date. We'll reconfirm with everybody. I'll be putting it out there on my Facebook page, and Franco's too. Franco, I know you have a show tomorrow with Antonia, with Masterpiece Life. So tell us what time that is. What time is it? At 8 o'clock?
It's tomorrow evening at 9. It's at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And it's post it on my Facebook, and also anyone that's registered on my website has already received notification from our website, I guess, notification because of the show. So it basically, you can tune in at 9 p.m. You can do it over the phone or online, and it's an actual clearing that will be done. And
Yay.
Don't know what the subject is about, but
I don't remember what the subject is either. But you know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners subscribe to Antonia Hagen's information, her newsletter, and yours. But just to remind people, it's francodenicola.com is your website. And if they want to go on there and check out any other information you have, plus have you updated it? Do you have more links to things, or is it still mostly on Masterpiece Life? Franco, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't hear you. You're actually a very bad connection. Yeah. Yeah, you're still there, but it's getting a little choppy. So can you say one more word? Because we're going to have to end, actually. We're getting to the very end of the show here.
Okay.
But
As for the website, it is up, and it has had a few challenges with it, but there are a lot of links there, so you can tap into it. Tomorrow evening is going to be releasing barriers to change. That's what the focus is on. So it is because a lot of people want change, but at the same time, there's a lot of resistance to change. So there will be a modality that we'll be doing to help release the barrier that we created because of fear, because of old programs, change is scary and all that stuff. So in essence, we're going to play with that.
Excellent. So I will definitely be listening to you and Antonia tomorrow night, as I'm sure all of our listeners will, or will catch the replay. And please share this show with other people and the replay. We got to bring the show to a close. I would ask you for a closing comment, Franco, but I think you laid it out on the line tonight. It was a beautiful show. As always, it's so wonderful to be in your presence, and thank you so much for being with us tonight. And I just love you, and I'm so happy to have you back. So thank you so much for coming on tonight, Franco. And we look forward to our next show together. I just want to remind people about next week. I'll have Matthew Bueno back on the show, and that'll be at 9 p.m. Eastern. And tomorrow night, Helene Lipson has a show with Matthew Cosell and Jamie Alvarez, and I played their music a little bit tonight. So tune in for that. I think that'll be at 9 p.m. Eastern. And just want to say much love to everyone, and thanks for being with us. So thanks so much, Franco. Do you have anything you want to say for the last moment of the show?
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for participating and for everything that everyone's doing. And I look forward to create this new reality, new world together as a beautiful team. You know, we've come together for that reason. So that's put it to the fullest. Let's go for it.
Awesome. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Franco. You're such a beautiful soul, and thanks so much for sharing your essence with us tonight. Oh, we got to go. We got to end the show. We love you all being with us tonight, and thanks so much, Franco. We'll see you next time.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody,
okay.
Thank you, and you're awesome.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We love you all. Good night.
Good night.
Bye. Much love to everyone. See you next time.